This week, a big box store chain cuts back on gaming displays while still selling lethal weapons one aisle away from bikes and children's toys. Truly the arbiter of morality. This is just one story we've heard too many times before. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of Orange Lounge Radio. It is episode number 788 for this August the 11th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in studio live at Twitch TV/VOG Network, VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network. Joining me here in studio is Techmaster Loki.
Yes, it's me, the guy that's shutting down all the background processes because I neglected to bring my power adapter for my laptop.
You're going to have to vamp with the
it
camera
It literally
tonight.
Is going to eat the battery in, like, no time flat.
You guys don't know, like, how much Loki multitasks. Well, you probably do know if you've watched the show before. You can usually see his head buried in the laptop. And, you know, for the he's on task. It's not like you're sitting there watching porn, but you're – I don't think, but you know, you're looking at, you know, stories, last minute stories, things related to gaming, or I've seen you working on your game. Like, I feel like you get more work done on your game here at OLR.
No, I don't work on it here.
Yeah. Crazy. So unfortunately your laptop battery seems to be dying.
Yeah. It's because I was stupid and it's because my kids were distracting me when I was packing up everything before I came over here. So I did unplug it and wrap it up and set it down and then left. So, oh well.
Things happen sometimes. It's okay. So you're gonna try your best to get through the show.
Got my phone.
Yeah, you have the good old phone backup. We can find you a charger for that if need be. Why haven't I introduced Dark Sakura? We adore her. She's still very much a part of OLR, just not tonight. So Dark Sakura's not with us tonight. She is at a Weird Al Yankovic concert.
Committing word crimes.
Here in town. Weird Al Yankovic is in town. I'm kind of jealous. I would have liked to have gone to that. I had no idea that it was happening tonight. But a fine excuse to miss OLR,
yes.
Honestly. Like, I can't be mad. Like, I almost missed this show for Carly Rae Jepsen, so it's only fair that she misses the show for Weird Al Yankovic. It's fine. So we'll be back, or she will be back next week, but we're here with you guys tonight in studio over at, again, Twitch TV/VOG Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at about 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So you guys can join us in chat there. Bobby Blackwolf points out, actually, he's probably performing word crimes right now. I've missed a show for Weird Al a few months back. It's totally acceptable. At Rum Jump Stomp saying, Weird Al is the best concert I've ever been to. I haven't seen Weird Al in concert. I feel like I'm missing out.
I have not either, and someday maybe.
Who have I seen? I've seen a lot of good shows this year. I mean, you know, I love my pop diva queens. So, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen was an amazing show if you're into that. I saw Robin earlier this year, which was phenomenal. I've had the fortune of seeing some good concerts this year. So, yeah. I don't know if I've been to a lot of bad concerts. I've seen bad bands at concerts, but I haven't seen just a lot of straight up bad concerts. Like, I've seen bad openers.
I can't think of the last concert I actually went to.
What about video game related concerts? How about this side? And I'll ask you guys in chat, what video game concerts have you been to?
Well, the only one I went to is that Final Fantasy one year, I think.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm pretty sure I've told this story on the show before, and in fact, it might have been less than a month ago, but Alan and I, my husband Alan and I, met in person for the first time at Video Games Live in Oakland, the Tommy Tallarico show that travels around and, you know, has been everywhere in the past few years. That was actually – we knew each other online on a site called LiveJournal for years and years, but we actually met for the first time in person at a video game concert, so – video games are part of the reason I'm in the home situation I'm in today, which is pretty cool. I would say, though, recently one concert I remember going to that I loved was when it was MAGFest. Because MAGFest is right, music and games. I had a great time at MAGFest the couple years I went. And one of the years I went, they actually had somebody playing the game, or some buddies. They passed it off every now and then. But they were playing the game Journey. Right? Not about the 80s band, but the more recent artistic game for the PlayStation 3 and 4, Journey. They were playing that with a live orchestra playing the music. And it was,
oh, that's cool.
It was, to quote a Keanu Reeves term, breathtaking. So it really was. Like, there's no other word to describe it. It was an amazing concert. I love that. So, ActDef saying, my last video game concert was Capcom Live quite a few years ago. Bobby Blackwolf saying, shame it's the first weekend in January regarding MAGFest. Yeah, that timing, you know, I just know I won't be able to get back to MAGFest for a couple years. I'd love to go back. Well, there's also MAGWest, which, if MAGWest wasn't this weekend, then it's happening really soon. because MagWest, it was the week before Dragon Con, but I think it's like 2 weeks before. It's like either this weekend or next weekend. It's coming up real soon. And I always mean to get out there, but it's just, yeah, summer, a lot of busy weekends in the summer. I usually end up with other commitments and so forth. So that happens. So I would love to see, you know, there's a lot of good musical performances at Dragon Con. I don't remember if there's a lot of video game related things directly, because Dragon Con is more of a general nerd convention, but I'm sure there's video game influence stuff I just haven't made my way down the halls to find yet. So, but I'll talk more about Dragon Con in a little bit. But first, we're going to get into tonight's kickoff topic. So yes. Some video game news. Big, big change going on in the industry. This is pretty huge.
Yeah, they're taking hints from all the regulation that's coming down the pipeline. Yeah, right. So. Apparently, the ESA made a statement saying that, hey, guess what? Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, they've all agreed on one thing, and that is that they're going to make sure that on their platforms, you know what the odds are for random loot boxes. So you'll actually be able to see what the odds are for specific games and what they're going to feature and the rarities of different items that you may get and probabilities and whatnot. So that's going to apply to new games and game updates that add loot box features, and it would require the disclosure of the relative rarity or probabilities.
Now, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. Because I feel like when we talked about loot boxes here on OLR, when this controversy was, you know, breaking, when it was really hitting a fever pitch around the legislation, I want to say about 6 weeks ago, yeah. When it looked like it might actually make its way to Congress and so forth, I want to say that I said, you know who could fix this problem, and you know who could stop this before it goes to the government and the government makes the wrong decision, because, you know, no matter where you are politically, I'm pretty sure we can all agree the government would have made the wrong decision on this, right?
So, at least this government.
So, yeah, at least this government. You know, maybe other world governments would have done better. But anyway, I believe I said, you know who could fix this? Microsoft could fix this. Nintendo could fix this. Sony could fix this. Now, the gag I didn't predict was that they would all do it together. That's a gag. I did not see that one coming, but I thought, oh, I thought Microsoft would be the first, just because they do have involvement on PC and so forth, that they would do something on their marketplace. Because I remember making the joke Nintendo would be last to the table, because hello, Nintendo went online. So I remember this topic coming up. But it is pretty, you know, it's funny because I also feel like that's been a running theme, is that, you know, all these game companies kind of working together for greater good all of a sudden, right? We had a story just a few weeks ago about Sony and Microsoft teaming up on cloud gaming in some regard, right? Mm-hmm. So is the Smoosh cameo actually happening on the stream? Almost, you can see his little ear.
You can see his head.
Just a little bit. Maybe if you let him walk in a little more. He might hop up on that table. Who knows? But anyway, not to distract too much from our podcast listeners, but you know a Smoosh cameo is always going to distract us here on OLR.
So why'd you stop petting me?
So anyway, it's really something that they've all kind of banded together in a way. So there was the cloud gaming thing, but now there's this. All three have come together to essentially end the loot box. I mean, I don't know. Would you say this is the end? Like, where do we go from here?
It's not the end. It's just now they're like, well, look, see, we're being transparent about the randomization on it. So that's why it's okay. See, we're being good.
Yeah. I gotcha.
It's not gambling, except it is.
Yeah. So, well, but now it's less gambling now that you know the odds up front. So there. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Hey, this is the moment you've been waiting for. Look at that.
He has full on taken over now that Jamie's not here.
So center stage is going to clean himself right there.
Usually her stuff is all up on this table here, but Mr. Smoosh has just decided to make it its home tonight. I can't wait till we get into gaming weeks, because this fucking cat has done so much this week with gaming. But anyway, I'll get to it. So anyway, it's interesting that all three have banded together. So, but you don't think this is the end?
No, it's never the end.
It's not the end.
It's too much money to be the end.
Where do we go from here? Do we think the amount of loot boxes will decrease because we're seeing these companies take a stand? Or does this make it get bigger or what? What do you
think
in chat?
I think it's just not going to really affect anything. I think it's just now making it more acceptable in the eyes of the publishers. It's like, because, oh, hey, but we're letting you know what the odds are. So you're making a conscious, you know, you're making a decision to buy that. You know what the odds are. You're making the decision to do that.
Right. Do you think more games adopt loot boxes, or do you think we see this continued stepping back trend? Because I think there's a quick little follow-up on this, right? Like another.
I think there's a fine line. It's the same offenders that keep doing this, and it's putting loot boxes in games that really don't need to have them, or putting them in there after the fact, like Activision adding them to Crash Team Racing after the game's been reviewed. It's like, oh yeah, now we put it in there. Ha, you already reviewed the game. It's too late now, you know, or you bought the game. Now they're in there. So, I don't know.
But we do have a story about one game getting rid of loot boxes, right?
This is true, yes.
So, Rocket League is getting rid of loot boxes.
That's right. So, they're going the route because, you may remember, the parent company of Rocket League did get purchased by Epic Games. So, now they're taking their loot boxes and actually doing a kind of loot system that's similar to Fortnite, in the sense that you'll kind of have like a path laid out of like, here's the stuff you're going to unlock, kind of like their season passes that they're going to have. Or they don't call them season passes. They call them like, I don't know, battle passes or like their seasons that they have. So that's how they're doing it. So there's going to be transparency there, but it's not going to be random loot boxes.
Now, Rumjump Stomp in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says a lot of people are really angry about Rocket League removing crates because of the effect it will have on the trading economy. well, that's just, you know, it's for the greater good that these things are gone. Too bad for your economy.
I don't know. It's not a game I have really a stake in, so. Yeah.
No, but I mean, if it was, this could be happening in any
you
game.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Whatever someone does, it's going to offend somebody, so what are you going to do?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out from here. I do think the trend of removing loot boxes, I mean, you've seen Fortnite kind of do the more X-ray thing. So it's like a different, it's not so much like the gambling mechanic as it is, you know what you're buying up front. Like those types of like bundle packs and things of that nature, they're never going to go away. But yeah. I think the randomization, the things that could even have that appearance of gambling, you know, if you know, now that we know the odds and so forth, I just feel like these things are going to take a downward trend overall.
Well, and with the Fortnite stuff, I mean, at least that with their like battle passes or whatever they call them, you can, if you play the game enough or you can play it well enough, you can actually earn enough credits to buy it with in-game money each time and kind of keep that rolling. So I think that's kind of cool that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know if they'll have something similar with, you know, Rocket League, but we'll see.
We'll see. Indeed. Some other comments from chat. Spyro Jonathan says, Loki is so right about that with CTR Nitro Fueled, and the microtransactions were not ever advertised to be in the game when it was released. That does kind of make it
feel
it's
really... Activision, though. I mean, Modern Warfare, the game that they put out.
That doesn't
like,
make it
it's
better.
A remaster. Let's throw some of that shit in there because that's what people want. They're just going to do it because they make money off of it, and you'll bitch and moan about it, but in the end, people buy them, and they make money off of it, so they don't care.
Interesting comment from Questbuster. Questbuster says, reminds me when Valve accidentally crashed their Team Fortress 2 rare hat economy by accidentally making certain ones drop like crazy with the patch.
That was recently.
Yeah, yeah, and that is interesting when, like, you know, a bug or something happens there that kind of shoots the economy in the foot. It's kind of interesting. So,
Well... that economy is also what's getting legislature, you know, if you have random loot boxes and there's a monetary value associated with those, that loot that you have, that's a problem because that be gambling.
Kaijudo in chat says, Rocket League used to have a slot machine like Roll when you opened a loot box. They took it out like months ago, so they've been working on removing the random loot stuff before this news. Oh, yeah. No, I don't think like this.
Yeah,
this
it's more just
about,
a kind of a coincidence in timing.
It's one of those timing things where I think together we see that loot boxes, you know, it's changing drastically. And it's, I think, in large part because of, good job, EA and Battlefront 2. Like, if you can point at a reason and go, that was the day that loot boxes died, that game really started the everybody getting pissed off at those.
EA's their own worst enemy.
Because when it was Mass Effect 3 and the type of thing they did there, and I remember the early days, that didn't seem so agitating, I think. But I think that was because it really wasn't hard to earn enough in-game currency to open your own loot boxes. It was just that money was for the impatient. You know what I mean? So, but then, you know, more companies realized, oh, people will pay more money. And then, oh, you're paying money on a $60 game. Let's do more money on top of that to play as Darth Vader. You know, so anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's we'll see what develops in the coming weeks with this whole loot box thing. But this time next year, at least we're going to know all the odds on it. I will say one game that, you know, I play a bit of is Overwatch. And, you know, that game is a huge game on loot boxes. Now, they're all cosmetic. So I think Blizzard usually tends to dodge the bullets when it comes to this discussion in the industry about loot boxes, because, you know, the balance of Blizzard's game is not impacted by the loot boxes in it. But it is going to be interesting to see a game of that caliber, because they said Blizzard was in on this, right? So they're going to end up disclosing the percentage of, you know, if you get a gold or a purple or mm-hmm. what have you. So it'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, well, let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games or other games, as the case may be, I'll get into, that we have been playing this week. So, Loki.
So I've been playing more Pokemon Go because the reason I haven't had my gacha for the few weeks is I couldn't find the charging cable for it for, like, the longest time. And so I finally found it, and it's charged, and now I'm wearing it. So I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go, and I did one of the Team Rocket fights or whatever. And then I couldn't catch the piece of crap, you know, Charmander or whatever they wanted me to catch after that. So that was a little annoying. What else? Played a little bit of the Jurassic Park arcade game because I was an arcade because we went to play more laser tag at yet another place. So actually I went back to an old stomping ground that we used to go to, Country Club Lanes, where they used to have Fifth Mix back in the day. And we used to play it from like midnight to 3 a.m.
Man, DDR Fifth Mix was one of the best soundtracks.
It was great.
That techno remix of the Neverending Story.
Now that arcade is full of just the biggest, just the same games you see at every goddamn arcade. So Jurassic Park, the ride, our Jurassic Park game they had there was pretty cool. It was a little bit different of a cabinet because they have it actually, the seat moved when you're playing the game. So it was a little bit more enhanced, but it's such a sign, like, what happened to all this, you know?
Sorry, but speaking of dance games, quick tangent. I'm sure you, I think I saw you post about that video. So there was like a tournament at round one in the Bay Area.
Yes, the Night Motion.
Yeah, they did a Dance Rush Stardom tournament. And that routine with the couple that was, I don't,
awesome.
Dark Tetsuya or somebody, can you find that video and link it in our chat? Because I know you have to know what I'm talking about.
It's in my Twitter.
But there's, oh yeah, it's on your Twitter feed. That's right, Loki OLR. But that routine of that couple and what they were doing in that game, like, I don't totally understand Dance Rush, which is so weird for me to say because I used to love Bomani. Oh, I still do love Bomani. It has a place in my
I would
heart,
love to have one of those machines. But like, I would love to have one of those.
But like watching them do that routine, that was unreal. That was amazing. Props to those guys. I don't even know their names, but props to them. That was,
it's apparently
that was
fun from to watch. Sacramento, too.
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
Should get them on the show. What the hell are we thinking? Loki, what are we doing with our lives? All right, no, we need to get them on the show at some point. Open invite if you guys are out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah. So, now I have played at all of the laser tag places except for one in Elk Grove that are in the Sacramento area. And so we actually played Laser X today because we had gone to that arcade for so many times. And Laser X has been there since as long as I can remember.
Long time. Yeah.
Long time. I think they've updated it since we were going there. But so I've actually played that system before at this other place in Roseville. But they have, it's like slightly older. It was okay. I don't really like it too much. So then we went back to the usual one. We go to Jazz Tag, and I played a game there. Jazz feels more like Quasar to me, whereas the Zone laser tag system, Helios one that they've got over there, it's just all of it's very like kind of cheap feeling. The packs feel very cheap. The sound effects sound really shitty. This, the way that, like, it doesn't seem very accurate. It's just, all of it feels really cheap. But they just had an international tournament, like, in the Netherlands, just not too long ago, like, very recent for Zone. So, it's very popular out there, but I don't know. So, yeah. So, that's pretty much it. It's just laser tag and Pokemon Go.
All right.
Working on game dev stuff, because I've been actually doing that this week.
All right, so my gaming week. So I've been talking for several weeks about Fakie Survivor, right?
Yes.
And the fake Survivor game I've been playing with that started with 22 people. So that Survivor game was actually supposed to end tonight. Tonight was supposed to be the last night. It was going to be the final tribal council and all that stuff. They couldn't do it tonight. You know why? Because I got too far in the game, and I have this show as a commitment, so they actually had to bump it to Monday night. I think one of the other girls that got really far also had some scheduling problems, so I can't really take all the credit. So they actually – it's ending tomorrow. And I think the last update I gave you guys, I was in the final six, right?
Yeah.
So a lot happened, okay? I found a hidden immunity idol, and I knew it on the last episode, but I couldn't say anything about it because I don't know who's watching. Played the hidden immunity idol at final six, erased three votes that were for me, sent the other person home that got three votes on them, during the immunity challenge, which involved I had to have my camera on the floor because we had a water bottle in a sock that we had to spin around a tower of Solo cups and keep it going as long as possible. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's based on a real challenge. Again, that was on the show. It's just using 99-cent clearance store props instead of the stuff you'd see on CBS. So here's the hilarious thing. So while the camera is on the floor and I'm doing this, probably about 45 minutes into the challenge, Mr. Smush comes in the room. And Mr. Smush, I shit you not, he walks into the frame and he like stares because he sees my phone. I'm on Skype. He sees all the other people doing the challenge. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? He walks right up to my phone, knocks my phone on the ground, and in the chaos knocks my tower over. So Mr. Smush eliminated me from that final six challenge, which is why I had to basically play the hidden immunity idol to save myself. So anyway, yeah, that was Mr. Smush's little stardom this week. So now he's doing this during OLR. He's like, I want to be like dad and be on camera all the time. So that was that. Anyway, long story short, the final immunity challenge was today. I was still in it. Three people left, did the final immunity challenge, and I won the final immunity challenge, and I got to choose who to take to the final two. So I am in the final two of the game, and the final tribal council is tomorrow. The hosts really want me to put it on my Twitter to see if some of you will go watch because they want to recruit for next season. So I will put it on Twitter so you guys can watch me win or lose. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I've had a lot of fun and met a lot of great people and had a real emotional roller coaster. Like, I'm not going to lie. I lost it when I won that immunity challenge because it was something I never expected to win because it was very physical in nature. Do you guys want to see what I had to do? You ready? You want to see the final challenge?
Sure.
Here we go, Twitch. All right. So apologies to the podcasters. I'm going to have Loki narrate what I'm doing and try to use my loud voice so you can see what the final endurance challenge. So if you ever watched the TV show, you know that the final challenge in Survivor is usually some sort of endurance challenge. You ready? Okay, here we go. So Loki, you got to narrate for the podcasters.
All right. So he has a cup and then, let's see, was this like a shoelace?
Yeah, shoelace.
So he's holding a tied shoelace.
So I got to do, how the hell did I do this? I think it was this. Yes. Okay. And then I got to do.
So he's wrapping it around his fingers between his hands.
Like the thumb and the pinky, right?
All
right.
Thumb and pinky.
Shit, I did it the wrong way. I'm one hand. I hope the hosts are watching because I struggle bust with this so hard when we were doing it. Okay. So you have to make sure the inside is on like those three fingers. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Middle finger, pull. Middle finger, pull. Cat's cradle.
Right, cat's cradle, okay.
So then you have to, oh shit, this is the wrong way. Okay. Then you have to, like,
and you have to grab the Solo cup.
Yeah. God damn it. I did what I did during the challenge. No. Hold on, I'm gonna try this one more time. This happened to me during the challenge when we were trying to set up. Like, I could not get it going, and I know they were making fun of me.
Okay, so he's putting it back on his hands again.
Middle finger.
All right, cat's cradle, okay, and he's going to grab the cup, which is upside down by wrapping it around it, and he's got to hold the cup.
So I have to hold it out like this,
arms out in front of him,
stretched as long as possible. That's it. You hold this pose. If the cup falls, you're out. So guess how long I went.
How many hours?
Not hours.
Oh.
I don't have the final time, but I know we hit the 30-minute mark. So I would say about 32 minutes. The first person was out after 3 minutes. The thing about that, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's harder than it looks because if you pull too tight or if you're too loose
on
that, it's going to slip off or it's going to fire out with a cannon. And I think that's what happened to the girl who came in second is I think she adjusted because I could see her doing all these yoga poses and things like that. And I think when she was doing it, because it's hard, my hands were freaking killing. My hands are still sore right now. But I think she pulled too hard and the cup went shooting out. So, and I think that's why. Yeah. And so that was the challenge we had to do. They're not all physical, though. I know I've showed a lot of physical stuff on OLR, but some of them are like puzzles and things like that. So it was, it's been interesting. So next week we'll know if I actually won or not. But I got down to the final two, and I'm considering I've played a handful of these games at this point, and I usually flop them all, meaning I'm usually like pre-jury. Like, I'm just like super stoked that I've gotten as far as I have. So there you go. Let's see, looking in chat at some of the comments there. So let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, first Survivor had Boston Rob. Now they have OLR Rob. Who knows? I don't see. Here's the thing. playing it from my home is so much easier because I actually get to still eat. You don't want to see me when I'm hangry. Like, I was already emotional enough over this game. I don't need to, like, starve myself to death on top of that. That would be insane. So anyway, there you go. So that was Fakey Survivor, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I did get to play some video games amongst that, because as the numbers were dwindling down, we sort of run out of things to talk about. So I actually got to catch up on some other games. I've been playing Overwatch randomly. I just started playing some matches, and I wanted to see if the party system was in it yet, or like the forced role thing was in it yet. It's not, but I still just did some quick plays. I got to finally do some more matches with Batiste, because like he's not so new anymore, so the mm-hmm. newness of him has died down. So I actually got to do some matches with him and Lucio. And actually, I had a great run as Lucio for some healing, so that's good, because that's a character. Excuse me, hiccups. That Alan's really good with too. So did some Lucio there as well. And so I played some Overwatch, and then I've been playing, of course, a crap ton of Final Fantasy XIV. I'm still trying to catch up in the expansion. I've made it a long way. I've just completed the level 79 dungeon and trial. Again, I don't want to ruin it, so I want to tell you what it is. It's a great throwback to Final Fantasy I. I'll say that much. And if you've played the new expansion, the level 79 dungeon is a direct reference to Final Fantasy I. Go back and look it up. That was pretty cool. That's where I'm at. So I'm almost to the end of the story, I think. So that'll be good. But the story's kind of picked back up. It lagged a little bit in the Amarang zone around level 77, but now it's really picked back up ever since I got out of there. So I'm really enjoying the Shadowbringers expansion. It's great. So ActDeft, going back to Overwatch, saying, I'm waiting for Sigma to release officially. The little I played of him on the PTR was fun. Yeah, I want to check out Sigma as well, although I haven't done the PTR yet. Going back to Survivor, SSJ100 Matt in chat says, nicely done, Rob. Maybe you will come back on the All-Stars version. You know, I have not streamed in 6 weeks, and you can basically blame this game for that. And I don't regret it. I've met some wonderful people that I'll keep in touch with long after this game is over and so forth. But I don't know if I could do it again. Like, it's a lot to put on hold. And I know I always say that, but here's the difference this time, guys. Usually I get booted like in 14th place. So I only spend a week and a half on the game, and then whatever, it's done. This time I've gone the full length of the game. I mean, win or lose tomorrow, I went the entire length of the game. It was like 51 days tomorrow. It's 51 days. So, you know, that's a long time to put everything else on hold. But that's like Ingress has been on hold. This has been like everything has been on hold. So I don't know if I could do that again. But I did say, if they do call me for All-Stars, it's going to be hard to not answer the phone. But the good news is, so they've already done an All-Stars. This is the 9th season they have, and All-Stars is usually every 7. So I have a good like 5 seasons to wait. So it's going to be a while before I have to make that choice. And that'll be very good. If they even call me, but they may not. There's been a lot of great people that have played the game. So they may decide, I've had my run, I've had my story, I don't come back. But we'll see. There's not a lot of guys over 30 that play these games. So I feel a very unique void in that. So, all right. Anyway, enough about all that. Let's get into some other housekeeping. Oh, before we get to the gaming news, I should give Dragon Con a plug, because Dragon Con is coming up. So some quick programming note. We will be here live with Dark Sakura next week for episode 789. Mm-hmm. 790, the week after that, will be pre-taped. We will be taping that without an audience in advance, but we will be taking your questions. It's going to be very much a listener-driven show with your questions. We may try to do an interview or something during that week as well. And Gamescom is going to happen that week, so we'll be able to do
a little bit of wrap-up. That'll be a lot of news, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be quite a bit going on. So we're going to tape that without an audience, and then that will premiere on Sunday night after the Bobby Blackwell show. That is due to my travel. I'm actually leaving a week early for Dragon Con this year to go spend time with Extfer out in North Carolina where he lives now. So I will be leaving the day before. So 790 will not be live, but we hope you all will come out anyway. And then it'll still be on the podcast feed and all that good stuff as well. And you guys can certainly chat about it. And I will go back and read the chat transcript afterwards because I do that. And then there will be no show Labor Day weekend because Dragon Con is going on. And we will be back the week after Labor Day. I think it's September 8th is the date. We'll be back with episode 791 at that point. So that's kind of how that is going to go, which, wow, episode 800 is going to be before the end of the year. That's crazy, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, and Bobby will still be live that week that 790 is taped in advance. Now, speaking of Dragon Con, The channel won't necessarily be dark during DragonCon because we will be hosting the brand new DragonCon Twitch channel, which, Bobby, I'm going to butcher this name. I'm sorry. So correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's DC Media Track is their Twitch. Bobby will correct me in chat if I'm wrong. But we're going to be hosting their channel here at VOG because some of the panels that Bobby, myself, and some other folks you might know will actually be broadcast on that. So even though there might not be an OLR that weekend or a Bobby that weekend, you can actually tune in on Twitch and you'll be able to see some other stuff going on. Thank you, Bobby. It's DC Digital Media is the actual name of that channel. So you can go give them a follow if you want. I figured I probably should tell you what my DragonCon schedule is. I think we're at the point where I can share that with you guys. So you guys ready to hear about it? Of course, now that I've said that, I lost my email. So I need to bring it up again. Help me buy time, Loki.
Mr. Smush is trying to like put himself onto a potholder.
Okay, I got it. I got it. Sorry. All right. So here is my schedule for DragonCon this year. So Friday at 11:30. This is in the room that I don't believe will be broadcast. It's in Galleria 7, but I'm going to be on a panel called Discussion or Discord: What's Wrong with Peace, Love, and Understanding? And that'll be talking about are we encouraging open discussion or are we just, you know, eroding debates? We're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, tough fandoms and some of that real passion that goes into it. You know, sometimes we get very passionate on this show, so we'll talk a little bit about that. So okay, thanks Bobby, saying that even the Galleria 7 stuff will be recorded and posted later. It just won't be live. The stuff in room 6 is going to be live. This is a pretty big deal, so that's my only panel on Friday, believe it or not. The Tiger Claw, the panel is called Discussion or Discord, not to be confused with the Discord app. It has nothing to do with the Discord app. It's talking about the actual meaning of Discord, where you disagree with people. But a good question, because we do love Discord, but this panel has nothing to do with that. That's my only panel on Friday. So this one's a pretty big deal on Saturday. You ready for this? So Saturday at 11:30 a.m. at the Peachtree Ballroom at the Westin. So it's a ballroom, so it's a big panel. I am fortunate enough to be moderating Meet the Cast of World of Warcraft. So I'm going to be moderating a panel with voice actors, including Dave Fennoy. So he's done voices for Walking Dead and all that. That's going to be amazing. Dino Andrade, who I believe is friends with – I follow him on Twitter. He's friends with other people that have been on the show before. He does Professor Putricide, and he does like all the little gnomes, those voices. He's very good at those voices. Kimberly Brooks, also a very well-known voice actress, going to be on that panel as well. I believe she is – I may be wrong. I'm very, very sorry if I got this wrong. I believe she's the new princess of the Horde side in this expansion. I'm so sorry if I'm incorrect, but I believe that is it. And then Quentin Flynn and Samantha Inoue Hart. And I'm so sorry if I butchered those names because I haven't done my full research on that yet. But you know I love World of Warcraft, so I'm very excited to be doing that. All right. Saturday at 2:30, this was the VOG submitted panel. So Bobby and I are leading this one. Video didn't kill the radio star. Moving your audio podcast to video. You know, we might know a thing or two about that, right?
I guess.
So we're going to be sharing some of the experiences along with Bobby about moving to Twitch. But you know what's really cool about that panel? We have some other podcasters that have made that same move. We have a representative from Twitch on that panel.
What?
Yeah. Cool, right? So that will be streamed. That is in Galleria 6. So you will
tell
be
them that you're streaming
live.
Exclusively a Mixer, though.
No. All right. So not when there's a Twitch employee on the panel. That is Saturday at 2:30 Eastern. So you got to subtract 3 for Pacific. Okay. Oh, is Run Jump Stomp on that panel too? I don't know his real name. So that's really cool. All right. Awesome. All right. Then I'm on a panel Saturday at 5:30. This will be in Galleria 6, so it will be streamed. Very cool. I'm so honored to be a part of this. Speaking Out, Podcasting While LGBTQIA+. So I get to be on the Rainbow panel Saturday at 5:30. That is awesome. There's going to be some great guests on that, including, is Nifty listening? Nifty, you out there? Guess who's on that panel? You're going to be excited about this. Dax exclamation point from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8. Is on that panel. So very excited about that. Sunday at 10 a.m. So that's going to be very, very early. But if you guys want to catch that, it'll be streamed too. I'm going to be on the Twitch 102 panel. So last year I did 101. This year I get to moderate 102. We're now, because a lot of feedback we got with 101 was that it was too much about the whys. And I think many people that attended were like already streaming on Twitch and wanted to know more about the technicals, like the promoting your stream, the things like that. Mm-hmm. So this panel's for y'all that asked for that. So that will be Twitch 102. That will be streamed Sunday at 10 a.m. And then I believe my last panel, which will be in Galleria 7, so it's not streamed, but it's still an honor to be on this, Sunday at 5:30, Twitch and other streaming. So we are allowed to say the word Mixer at that panel, Loki. Twitch and other streaming, growing your audience. So we talk about how to grow your audience and collaborate and work together. So I'm excited to meet people. I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm so honored that digital media has included me. I mean, I'm on 6 panels and 5 of them are digital media. And I'm honored that the video game track had me back this year, even if my schedule only allowed for the one panel. But it's what a panel. Like, I mean, if I can only do one panel, to be doing World of Warcraft is...
Well, and that following up from last year, yeah, where you did, was it the Mass Effect one?
So. I did. And that was an honor as well. I don't know if I think they are doing another Mass Effect panel. They just, you know, they want to give somebody else the opportunity, and I can't argue with that. So that's great. So I'm really looking forward to both of those tracks. And yes, Nifty805 in chat says, you are hashtag booked and blessed. Yes, I am booked and blessed this year at DragonCon. I'm very excited about it. And hoping to see all the other events. If you are planning on attending DragonCon and you'd like to meet up, please join our Discord channel over at VOG Network. That's VOGnetwork.com/Discord. We actually have a channel all about conventions, and we will absolutely be using it for DragonCon this year. Even if you can't be there, we'll be showing pictures and so forth. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I do believe if there is a way for Bobby and myself to create some sort of video content for y'all at Dragon Con, outside of these panels, obviously, and deliver it to you guys here on the channel. You bet yourself we'll do that. We're gonna do that. So I can't give any details yet because we haven't hashed that out. But I think it's safe to say we'll have something. We'll do a little something. So, and some of VOG faces, past and present, will be there. I know some of our friends from Voice Geeks Network that do other shows are planning on being there as well. So I don't think we're going to have quite the large turnout from prior years, but certainly like Travis Donovan, I know is going to be there. Extifer's very first Dragon Con. I'm excited to have him get to see all that and, you know, give his impressions because, you know, he won't hold back. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. So we'll get to do a little guys on a show reunion while we're at Dragon Con. So that'll be fun. Yeah. So we're going to have a great year. So Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, it's going down. I'm excited. All right. Let's get into more video game news. So Loki, why don't you start us off?
So this one's interesting. So apparently Take-Two has sent some private investigators to a YouTuber's house to kind of crack down on some leaks. So this was a guy by the name of Submatto. He was posting different leaked information about Borderlands 3. And the way he came across some of this stuff was Take-Two were they were working on the Twitch integration for Borderlands 3. And so there was a trailer that came out talking about some of that. And in the trailer, they goofed and showed the username of one of the Twitch accounts that's tied to it. And lo and behold, it was a legit Twitch account. These people subscribed to it. They saw other Twitch accounts that had these really weird names attached to that. And so they were, whereas the accounts were streaming privately, they could take the mobile app and it would show kind of a screenshot of what was streaming on that channel, keep refreshing, and then eventually get screenshots of stuff that they haven't announced things for, like skill trees and whatnot. And so he was able to leak stuff out based on that. They've also DMCA'd, striked his channel 63 times for different videos.
Hold on, wait a minute. So these were like private Twitch streams that maybe employees were using to stream to each other or
but
some
it,
type of
the way
things.
The Twitch app works,
right,
though.
You can still see the thumbnails. So how is that this guy's fault? He's not. They're the ones that broadcasted on Twitch.
They're saying that. Well, he also had a private Discord that he, you know, charged money to Patreon subscribers to get access to.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they're saying that they're selling their copyrighted works.
That's where it gets dicey when you get a little too. I don't know what the word. I don't want to say greedy. Greedy's the wrong word. But when you get a little too, like, you know. there's just too much of that over eagerness type of thing to like be the first and be the one breaking news that it's like, let's make a little coin off it. But now it's getting dicey because you're making coin off it no matter how much. So yeah, okay.
But he also,
that makes sense.
He also was leaking some other stuff prior to this whole Twitch thing as well. So he may have had, you know, communications with different insider employees or whatever. But this was basically his shtick and what happened. But he was kind of surprised to see that, you know, there were some private investigators actually came to his house and started questioning him about stuff, which is kind of an interesting move on Take-Two's part.
Overzealous, says ACT-EFT is the word. Yes, it is. Wow. Thank you. He's an English teacher in Mexico, so of course he thinks of the word before I do. Thank you. Yes, that is a good word for it. SG100 Matt says, stuck your hand in the cookie jar too much. That's another way to put it, for sure.
Yeah.
So,
of course, you know, he put out a video talking about the situation that's happening. 2K Games put out a statement saying, you know, that the information that's out there is untrue and incomplete, and so there's some more stuff, but in the end, Take-Two's a big company. They have enough money to sue him into oblivion, or at least, you know, strong arm him that way. So it's going to happen. But now
the information's out there. You can't stop the spread of information.
This is true, yes.
So, I mean, maybe some things that they had planned to save for Gamescom or some other types of announcements are surely out there now. So, I mean, it does kind of take the wind out of those sails. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of, like, the I don't know, journalism.
Well, maybe
or
be careful when you're posting your, you know, streaming video with IDs in there.
That's part of it, but it's, yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff.
Don't they have
but
people also, that review those things?
You would think, but it also just goes to show, like, you know, just how, you know, foaming at the mouth people are about, you know, any little piece of information. I mean, look at YouTube culture. People will make, and Twitch, or any streaming really culture, Twitch, Mixer, whoever you want to say, but YouTube, I would feel like especially, people will make 5-minute videos out of like, hey, some guy posted a thing on Reddit about this, and let's look into this. So, you know, that's just like you take that one little bit of information, and it's like, you just like, people make all this content about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So it's, and I know that I fully see the irony in that when we're doing a show like this, but I like to think we talk about more than one thing on this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, people going crazy for Borderlands 3 information.
Yeah.
When's the game come out?
September.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's only a month away.
It's like a few weeks away. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So now Dark Tetsuya in chat says the dissection videos. I do enjoy some of those. Yeah, I'm not knocking them and saying they're all bad. I'm just saying that's like part of the culture, is that when one little piece of information leaks out, it's like all these, you know, information. Like I remember Shane would show me, not so much for this round of Pokemon, but the last round of Pokemon when like X and Y were the new games, or I'm sorry, Sun and Moon were the new games. Like there would be the littlest little trailer, like 2-minute trailer that Nintendo would put out, a little mini direct or something. And then it's like the 90-minute discussion video.
Yeah.
That goes on. Because this was back when we were doing like Pokestop podcasts regularly. And I was always like, dang, how do people do like 90-minute videos off like a 2-minute? But
you'd be surprised.
They weren't bad videos by any means. They were definitely like enthusiastic fans really getting into the down and dirty on all this content. So this is very, very interesting. So anyway. Moving on. So something that you can't really dissect anymore because it's gone has to do with DuckTales and DuckTales Remastered. DuckTales Remastered specifically, no longer available for purchase. If you thought that game would be around forever, it is not, at least digitally. Now, you know, there's physical copies out there in the world, and, you know, they're always be out there on secondhand markets, flea markets, garage sales, places like that. But I do think because so many people got this game digitally, and now that option has been pulled, you can no longer get this game digitally. You can still re-download it if you purchased it before, so don't freak out. But, I mean, there's even going to come a day, just like they pulled down the Wii shop eventually, there's going to come a day when the Wii U shop, if you bought it there like I did, goes down, so you won't be able to re-download it. Or, you know, whatever the case. So,
well, yeah. I bought it on Steam because they had it down for $374. So I was like, yeah.
They had a huge sale. And I wish we could have got this out there before it got delisted. But they only gave us like 3 days notice.
Yeah.
It was out and then it was gone. August 8th was the day it was delisted. So it is gone. No more can you get this game on Steam or PS3 or Xbox 360. It was backwards compatible on Xbox One, though. So I wish I did have it on. I think I have it on. I think they gave it away for PlayStation games at one point. So I think I have it on PS3.
Yeah, I do sort of remember that.
But and I have it on Wii U. But I don't think I ever got it on Xbox. I would love to get a physical copy for Xbox, though. and then that way you could play it on Xbox One. Because it was a good game. Like, the original DuckTales game is, like, you know, one of the greatest NES games they ever did, yeah. Really.
And the remaster is pretty good, too.
Yeah, and the remastered was pretty faithful. Like, you know, it was it added little bits at the beginning and end, but they did, you know, they did a really good job with it. So, yeah, and the Vert soundtrack is really, really good, you know, with all the reimaginings of the songs. So, yeah. So, yeah, they had it down to 374 until it was gone forever. But, you know, the physical version might still be a way to find it. But I imagine the price of that physical version, as people realize it's going to have a little bit of rarity to it now, the price of that might go up. We'll see. Now, Bob Coffey says you can still find physical copies for PlayStation 3 at Walmart for $12.88 pretty easily. Bob Coffey also pointing out, though, that these are showing up on eBay for $40 already. So you might have to wait a little bit for things to kind of even out a bit.
Just go buy used. Go buy a used copy somewhere.
For sure. Well, even the used copies are probably, you know, I don't know what it currently runs at on GameStop, and now your computer's dead, so you can't look it up for me. But
I have a phone.
No, it's fine. I'm sure somebody can look it up too. Also, Dark Tessia points out that was the last performance of Alan Young's Scrooge. And, you know, it was great that he still did the voice acting. You could tell he was a little older and his voice was a little more, you know, at a very mature stage, you know, when he was doing it. I mean, he did a great job, don't get me wrong, but you could definitely tell it was, you know, he was getting to that point where he's very getting older and, you know, probably harder for him to do very hard work. Because who does the voice now? Doesn't David Tennant do the voice of Uncle Scrooge now in the new?
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So let's say, Dark Tetsuya says, I want to say there was another actress that passed away from that game. I forget. Wasn't it, I hope I don't butcher the name, June Foray? Wasn't it Magic of the Spell?
Yes, it was Magic of the Spell. I don't remember who the actress is.
It's June Foray, isn't it? I'm almost positive. Somebody look that up for me because I think I'm right. Now, Bobby Blackwolf talking about the price equalization saying, just wait a little bit. Final Fantasy 13 on Xbox 360 shot up on the used market when the Xbox One backwards compatible version came out. But after a few months, it was back down to a more reasonable price. Yeah, absolutely. Dark Tessia does think I got that right. Yeah, June Foray was in like her 80s or 90s when that came out. So, you know, I believe... I want to look up her Wikipedia article because I don't want to say she passed and then be wrong. Because that's like the most horrible thing you can do.
She passed on to other projects.
Yes, that's right. She passed on to other projects. Let's double check here. I'm getting the... Okay, she did pass away in 2017 at 99 years old. Bless her heart. That's a long way. That's a long, big life. So yes, June Foray did pass away and she was looking up. I'm just confirming in her... filmography. There's radio. Where's TV? Where's DuckTales? It's got to be in the 80s somewhere, right? Do. So she was on the Smurfs. She was Jokey Smurf. I never realized that. So she was on the Gummy Bears too. Good Lord. Yep. She was Magic of the Spell. There it is. DuckTales 87 to 90. So it's June Foray. So I'm glad I remembered that, actually. I'm proud of me. All right. Let's move on. Some news about Rockstar, right, Loki?
Yeah, so you may know, like, game testers have been kind of getting the brunt of the firings when, you know, game development ends on certain games. But now, though, that may be changing a little bit with Rockstar, because Rockstar is actually converting their game testers now to full-time, which is pretty awesome. So they're basically now making it full-time positions so that, you know, testers don't have to worry once their contract is up. Are they getting fired? Or, you know, what's their next job going to be? Now there's a little bit more stability in that sense, which is kind of nice. And apparently this has gone into effect as of the beginning of this month. And they didn't say how many people this is affecting, but or whether it extends to the temporary workers that they had before. But it is something that's positive, at least. Yeah, they said a large number of staff are on rolling temporary contracts and live in the hope that they will be extended and be able to pay rent at the end of their contract or as the end of their contract approaches. I don't feel anyone is comfortable speaking out in the hopes that they can extend long enough to be permanent. Staff are often reminded how lucky they are simply working for Rockstar. Yeah, which is unfortunate. They kind of rub that in their face like, well, you're lucky to have this job, you know, even though it's shitty or whatever. So it is nice that they're extending that out and hopefully paying them better with that. Maybe other companies can take note of that.
It's nice to hear a little bit of good news about the way people are treated in the industry because, you know, taking them on as like full time and not just being temp means they get the benefits. They get, you know, there's a lot of other perks
just,
that come with
just
that.
Just think of the extra money that you would have, Rockstar and Take Two, if you stop sending private investigators to YouTubers' houses.
Wow. All right. Let's move on and talk about Gamescom is coming up very soon. So those of you maybe over in Europe, if you're going to be near Germany, maybe Cologne specifically, you might head on over to Gamescom. So Jeff Keighley is actually going to be doing a big press conference called Gamescom Opening Night Live, because there hasn't really been a big press conference. Like Microsoft and Sony used to do them. PT, the epic playable trailer for the Silent Hill game that never was, that was a Gamescom thing. That came out of Gamescom.
I thought it wasn't Tokyo Game Show or anything?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Gamescom. Yeah. So, yeah, no, they even cite that in this story. Oh. That PT was part of that.
PT too.
Well, yeah.
No, just kidding.
But anyway, Jeff Keighley is going to be putting together a press conference in Cologne, and of course Jeff Keighley does the game awards, you know, so he's mm-hmm. used to putting on these big event shows. Gamescom Opening Night Live will be Monday, August 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific because of the weird time zone difference. It's actually at 8 p.m. over there, but because they are that far ahead, it's going to be 11 a.m. for us here in the Pacific coast of the U.S. So Hideo Kojima is going to be there to present yet another look at Death Stranding. We're getting close. I'm okay with it.
Is it coming out this year or is that next year? It's next year. I think it's next year.
Some more publishers that will be showing. There's a lot of people here. 2K Games. Oh, no. Sorry. ActDev corrects us and says it is this year, November.
Oh.
Is when it is out. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of the other companies that will be showing up at Opening Night Live. 2K Games, Activision, Bandai Namco, Bungie, Capcom, EA, Epic Games, Google Stadia, Deep Silver, Private Division, Sega, Squeenix, Sony, THQ Nordic, Ubisoft, and Xbox Game Studios. It's a lot. That's a lot of the big players. That's pretty much everybody you'd expect to do some things at E3. So, yeah, that'll be cool. Dark Tetsuya thinks it could be Need for Speed related news coming from EA. That would be exciting. I'd be into that.
Yeah, I heard that they're doing a new one of that. And then they also have a new IP for Plants vs. Zombies.
That's right. Speaking of new IPs, this could be recycled. Who knows? But apparently Sega is getting ready to reveal a AAA game at Gamescom. So, Sega is teasing an all-new AAA game. They send an email out to various blogs and so forth. Sega will also be showing off Catherine Full Body, Two Point Hospital, the Sega Genesis Mega Drive Mini, and so forth. But, yeah, the fact that it's AAA, that's interesting. Could it be a new Sonic game? Could it be a new PC-related? I mean, we don't know. We already know about Phantasy Star Online 2, so I don't think it's that. Unless, oh shit, if they made like a new mainline Phantasy Star game, like, could you imagine like after all these years, Phantasy Star 5? I'd cry. I would. That would be amazing if they did like a Phantasy Star 5. Or even just like a single player type of game, you know, set in like PSO or PSUs. Like, what was that game on PS Vita or was it PSP? Like, it was just like, it was like Phantasy Star Universe, but like a single player campaign. I'd love something like that. But
I would just love another Daytona game. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do. That's all they have to do is
just play that.
Just play that.
And they could have, just as silly, you know, to be really silly, they could have Kaz or I come on stage and go, "It's Daytona." Daytona.
Kaz or I's busy being retired at this
point. Oh, come on.
All right. Questbuster saying Nintendo will be at Gamescom, if I recall correctly. Luigi's Mansion 3, Sword and Shield, The Witcher 3 port will be there, among others. Yeah, that's true. SG100 Matt says, don't overhype us. If you overhype it for us and then tell us it's 2 years away, you're hurting your own game. So we'll see. It sounds like Sega could be ready
it's
to
It's Shenmue 4. Shenmue 4.
I
and please kickstart it for
anything
us.
Anything is possible. Who knows?
Support our Patreon and we'll develop Shenmue 4.
Who knows? More news, Loki, right?
Yeah, so No Man's Sky Beyond is coming out.
I feel like we've talked about it for the past 3 weeks. It's coming. Yeah, but they tease us a little more every time, right?
Yeah. So now it's finally coming out this week, though.
Alan, when he was playing the Black Mesa, the Half-Life redo, yeah. right? He played that. I think he finished that, and now he's back on No Man's Sky. Like, he plays it a lot. I almost want to rebuy it on PC just so I can play with him.
I'm with you there, because, like, I was just about to say, and I had, so there's a brand new trailer that got released, and they set it to the same music as the original trailer. And, oh, my God, it looks – this is, like – what it should have been when it launched. This is like the hype that they had before. So 16 to 32 players. They're going to add VR support, the Nexus Social Space. You can tame creatures in there. You can ride them as well. They also put milk in there. I don't know if you really need to get blue milk out of those things. Multiplayer missions, cooking and crafting recipes, better aliens, power and logic and industrial bases. And lots more, and that looked awesome based on the trailer that they had.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was interested in getting it on PC so I could play with Alan, but I am just too, like, intrigued by the VR part of it. Like, the fact that it's going to be playable on PlayStation VR.
And Oculus, too. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So if you are on PC, I mean, you're going to have that. But I don't have those. I have PSVR.
Yeah.
So I'm...
And they said the VR is, like, really good in it, too.
I'm getting chills just thinking about, like, I hope I can find my disc. That's the other thing I'm worried about.
So there's that. And then here's another cool thing, though, that is something that they're interested in doing. They want to bring it to the Switch. So that's something else that they're looking into right now is how can we port this to the Switch? Because, you know, obviously the Switch is much less powerful than, say, a PlayStation 4 or PC. But it is something that they're interested in. And, you know, it's super interesting. I love the Switch. We're obviously very focused on what we're doing right now. We have done a lot of work for PSVR to optimize the game, so I'd be interested to see what's possible. But at the moment, we're just very focused on what we're doing right now. So it is something that he's interested in, but we'll see. It might be a while before that actually happens, if it even is able to happen.
It's just so crazy, like, how much they've really been dedicating themselves to working on this game to kind of... You know, and whether it was something they were always going to do, or they felt a sense of obligation after, you know, the first release was not so well received. But as we know, they've really made up a lot of ground within the industry. We had that story.
I think they've redeemed themselves
for sure. It's right up there with Final Fantasy XIV's rebirth, with Diablo III removing the auction house and fixing the entire freaking game. Like, what they've done with No Man's Sky is
I think it's
going to
be pretty incredible. I think if the trailer reflects actually what the game is, because remember, that was the issue with the original trailer.
True.
But I think they've gotten better now.
Even just watching Alan play, and Alan has a lot of parts from my old computer, so he's not even running like the newest stuff. And just like looking over his shoulder, watching him play on PC, I'm always like, dang, this game is so pretty. Like, some of the areas that he's in, I'm like, dang, I never really found a place like that on PlayStation. Like, and it's just like, it's so mesmerizing to watch.
It'll be fun. Multiplayer will be fun now.
Yeah, I'm excited for the fans of this game that have been, like, waiting for this for so long. And I'm excited for people like me that have kind of, like, we're casuals, right?
I haven't played it in a very long time since any of the expansions have come out. So.
Yeah, well, even when they did, like, with the Stargates and stuff. I remember Bobby and I did some streams on Twitch, and we had a good time. Like, we built star bases so we could find each other, or the little Stargates so we could connect. And that was really cool. So, like, the fact that that's going to get taken even further now with these larger squads, and that you put VR on top of that, like, the only thing I'm worried about is, like, you know, like, when I played VR Skyrim, like, it's beautiful, it's great, it really is immersive, but I could only do it for so long before I just started to feel a certain way, like, just... You know, and that's just the way I'm wired, the way my brain is, and my health and everything. It's just that, like, after an hour or so, I have to really, like, take it off and be like, I have to disconnect from VR because it's too much. Like, it makes me, like, it starts to have a physical effect on me that I don't like. So that's the only thing I'm worried about a little bit with this, but, you know, for the most part, very excited about it. Looking in chat, Act Def says, if it does come to the Switch, cross-platform multiplayer, please. Oh, wouldn't that be great if it went
cross-platform? Well, do they even have cross-platform between PC and PlayStation 4?
They don't, because, and I think there's a reason for it, because when the game first launched, we weren't talking about cross-platform and all that yet. You know, that wasn't, it was just kind of an accepted thing that PC and PS4 would be separate. Well, I think the problem is now, at this point, probably why they can't fuse them together is that basically, you know, you have one universe on PC where things have been named and everything's got their thing, and you have another universe on PS4 that's kind of the same thing. I don't know if they can just combine them, because what happens if you got a planet over here and a planet over here, like, and you don't know what's been built on one versus the other. So I don't know if they will be able to successfully bridge that gap without pissing somebody off, you know, that's like, you know, but you would think in the entire, like, couldn't they just take all buildings and like in the entire universe, what would be the odds? But you know, it would happen to somebody. There'd be that Kotaku story. Like, you know, the merge of the worlds has caused one person's base to be squashed by another person. You know, there'd be that thing. But I would think there'd be a way to work it out somehow. You never know. Dark Tetsuya says, I could get into No Man's Sky on Switch. Run Jump Stomp in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, probably Sony getting in the way. Well, you know, Sony had to back off a little bit because they were really painted out to be the bad guy in a lot of the talk about Rocket League and what was the big one? Oh, Fortnite. Fortnite was the big one that I think really made PlayStation have to kind of, because it was all the people trying to get their Epic accounts on Switch and they couldn't do it because they had it on PS4 and like all their stuff was getting locked out, and that made Sony look like really bad. That was a very bad PR thing for Sony. So I think Sony has kind of been pressured by the gamers out there to go back on that a little bit. And, you know, for the most part, they have at this point. So RumJumpStop says they weren't painted to be the bad guy. They were the bad guy. You know why I give them just a little shred of credit. Remember, guys, I'm a big Final Fantasy 14 player. That game has always been cross-platform between Sony, PlayStation 4, and PC. So, like, I've been playing a game for years that is cross-platform.
I'm surprised that hasn't come to Xbox One yet.
I'm surprised, too, amongst all of this, that that was one of my predictions for E3, was that they would announce that Shadowbringers would be out on Xbox One as well. I am also surprised. I can understand maybe why they don't want to do the Switch, because, you know, the reality is...
That makes sense, yeah.
Well, A, it's an MMO, so you
can
play it on the go.
I'll tell you what, you can bring 11 to the Switch, because that should be able to run that.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah.
You know, the mobile version. When is that coming out, by the way, the mobile version of 11?
It's been like 10 years. The mobile version of 11 will soon be eligible for Classic Game of the Week. Like, it's that long they've been talking about it. Anyway. Runjum Stomp says, Yoshi P said they would port it to all platforms if all platform holders would agree to crossplay. Shane is in chat saying, I'm pretty sure Yoshi P recently said it's Microsoft that's holding off an Xbox One port. That's so shocking to me. What do they have to lose? But then Microsoft went and scored that deal with PSO2, so I don't – it's weird.
I don't –
I'm surprised that they wouldn't want Final Fantasy 14. Especially when they went out of their way to get Final Fantasy 11. Again, you want to talk about like the first cross-platform game that you could do Sony, Microsoft, and PCs? That was Final Fantasy 11. Like, cross-platform was not an issue back in 2006.
Well, they all connected through the Play Online servers. So
I know.
That doesn't really count.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. We're going to move on. We could talk about crossplay, but the reality is we don't really know. We're not in those boardrooms. We can only kind of take our best guesses through what has been said in various interviews. Anyway, moving on to the Epic Game Store and a game called Ooblets. Because Ooblets has recently announced that they will be exclusive to the Epic Game Store temporarily. Epic offered the development team of two people some financial incentives that would cover Ooblet and what it would sell as if it were selling on all the different PC stores. So, you know, it's a financial move, especially when it's two people putting it together. It's like, you know, somebody's showing you some coin. It's a financial move that is going to put bread on the table for a little while, right? So it makes sense, and that can help them grow their company and do more staff. But, oh my God, people got terrible about this because there are some people out there that really hate the Epic Game Store.
Yes, but... I'll let you finish, okay. but there's I think it's not necessarily the announcement, that it's how they announced it.
Okay, fair. So let's move on then. So there's an announcement that occurred, and it was on the Patreon community. So I can see, so people were paying money for this. It's kind of like the Shenmue 3 thing, right?
Well, not necessarily that. It's read through some of it.
Okay, I will. The developers said they got thousands, if not tens of thousands, of hateful, threatening messages across every platform nonstop. And then Epic actually came to their defense and kind of said, you know, we've shared our views about the game business and companies in it. We support the game community's right to speak freely. The announcements of Ooblets highlighted a disturbing trend, which is growing and undermining healthy public discourse, and that's the coordinated and deliberate creation and promotion of false information, including fake screenshots, videos, and technical analysis, accompanied by harassment of partners, promotion of hateful themes, and intimidation of those with opposing views. Epic is working with many game developers and other partners to build what we believe is a healthier and more competitive multi-store world for the future, and so on and so on. Now, if you want to go to the announcement, I'm trying to load it on their website right now.
Well, I'll save you the time.
Here's
how they announced it and why I think people were kind of a little bit angry about it. So they basically said, you know, here's what these Epic folks are doing. First, they teach every kid in the world these obnoxious dances, and now they're offering funding to game developers in exchange for PC exclusivity on their game store. This is exactly what Marx warned us about. Just imagine if other companies got it in their heads and offered funding in exchange for exclusives. What would be next? Game consoles paying for games to be exclusive on their consoles? Netflix paying for exclusive shows? Newspapers paying for exclusive articles? It'd be some sort of late capitalist dystopia.
Okay, so it was very like talking
like,
down.
People. You could just say, hey, instead of being assholes like that, you could just say, hey, we made this decision because we are just two people, and it's good. You know, we want to be exclusive, so we were using this extra capital to do this. I think people would be more forgiving of that instead of talking down to people.
Well, yeah, and I will agree. Now that you've kind of put that in context, like that was a horrible way to deliver that message. Absolutely. But you don't need to meet crap with worse crap. You know what I mean? Like, that's where this is a problem. Like, it's, yes.
Right, yeah.
You need to be told, like, this shitty tone, guys. Like fix it up. But, like, going to the extent of spreading fake information, false screenshots, hate mail, death threats, all the bullshit you see on Twitter and all that stuff. Like, that is when it's like, y'all, calm down.
Yeah,
it's
like, if they
game.
Just
– don't buy it. You know the best thing you can do? It's not a tweet. It's not – like, the best thing you can do if you're mad, don't buy it.
And
what a concept.
And that's all they had to do was, like, just exclude that, like, paragraph that was in there, and it would be a decent announcement. Because the rest of it beyond that, like, talks about what they're doing, like, what Epic is doing for them, what it means to them, you know, and all that stuff. And, like, how it all, like, affects positively. But, like, it's that asshole tone in the beginning that when people already don't like those types of announcements. I don't think it's such a big deal when it's, like, an indie game like that coming to a platform exclusively. That's fine, because you understand that it's more of like the AAA companies that you don't need the extra Epic Games funding to, you know, you're not an independent studio that's trying to, you know, scrape together some money so that you can actually release your game. You know, when you're Take-Two or something, you're releasing Borderlands 3 on the platform and you're really just getting some extra points, you know, as far as the profit you're going to make. That's a little bit different, but it doesn't help, though, when people are already sensitive about that stuff and you put it in that tone. But at the same time, you shouldn't, you know, people that are fans or gamers or whatever of that shit shouldn't be just harassing people over it, because, come on, that's ridiculous.
SSG100 Matt in chat says, if you're mad, move on. The industry will continue to move on with or without you. Questbuster says, both sides are to blame, but the threats just played into their assessment of toxic gamers. Yeah, like, I mean, people, there are valid criticisms of this statement in there, for sure.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's too many shitlords on the internet that are doing the shitlordy thing that now, like, that is the thing that everybody can point at and go, gamers are stupid, you know, and all that stuff. And that is part of the reason then why in the real world, when shitty things happen, people are quick to blame gamers. Like, I hate to say it, but it is that part of the culture that we're not rejecting harshly enough that is playing into that. I really believe that, you know? So again, I'm not saying like, oh, the Ooblets guys are totally in the right. No, like I just don't buy it.
But then once again, though, it's not the first company that's made a bad press release. And we're talking like two people. I'm sure they don't have a press person or a social media person. Mistakes happen.
So they
I'm
wrote
fine
it,
with it.
They wrote it like a Facebook post.
And you know what? And I get the sense of humor in it too. Like I read that and I'm like, I mean, I get your point. I'm not like bent out of shape about it. I don't really care either. I mean, the game looks cute. It's so what if it's Epic exclusive? I'm kind of over that whole Epic exclusive stuff. Like, oh no, it's not in my Steam library. I'm kind of over it at this point. But why are people so bent out of shape over something so small? I don't understand.
I'm kind of with Bobby a little bit on this, though, about his apprehensions about Epic. Like, I have an Epic store account to just hoard free games. That's basically what I do. But Bobby, you know, makes a point about why he doesn't buy games. I don't buy anything on Epic Game Store simply because they don't have any wallet cards I could buy at a store. I have to give them my credit card info, and I don't trust any gaming company with my credit card info. And, like, I respect that in this day and age of data breaches, when the companies who track breaches get breached, you know, and those types of things, when it's that reductive.
Yo, dog, I hear like breaches.
Exactly. When like Equifax, the credit monitoring company, gets in fact breached, you know, because there's that whole get
here's your $4.
Yeah, right? That whole thing. Like, I get it. Like, you don't want to trust your information out there anywhere. And, you know, I had money stolen on Xbox 360, certainly as a direct result of these types of breaches. So, like, I get it. Yeah. She-Hulk in chat says, trust no one, X-Files. Yeah, for sure, right? Questbuster says, I have an Epic account, but like Rob, it's only for the freebies. Yeah, exactly.
I purchased
Bobby,
a game.
Actually, sorry, I have to say this. Bobby says, I mean, my EGS account has already been hacked once and they got nothing. Something like that happened to me. Somebody connected my Epic account to a PlayStation account that wasn't mine. Because when I went to go do it, it was like, you're already connected to an account. I'm like, who the fuck is this? So I kind of think my Epic account got breached at some point too. So like, I get it. Like, I would encourage people, don't give Epic your credit card number. Seriously.
So I just use PayPal through it. Ugh. Because I've got 2-factor on PayPal.
Yeah.
And I don't have the automatic like, so, you know, make it easier for PayPal to charge your account. You know, don't just let it like just do its thing. You know, no, I just 2-factor everything.
Pop Culture in chat says, you know, Arrow works for a credit card processor, but it's not y'all's problem. Like, that, you're not the problem. And your companies aren't the reason the breaches are happening, because of like crap security on Epic's side and things of that sort. You know, so, you know, we already, and I think we're going to do it again tonight, we already have read different companies in the gaming industry that you would think would do better with information not being able to do so. You know, so just potentially, because I don't have the facts to back it up, except the fact that it happened to me, potentially add Epic into that, you know? So one more comment, and then we'll move on to the classic game of the week. SGO100 Matt in chat says, gamers need to be the better person in today's age, now more than ever. Terrible shit is happening all around us. Exclusivity in gaming, that's like my arch nemesis word, isn't the type of thing worth getting upset over. So, all right. And Bobby Blackwolf also says, I do thank Epic Gamers for beta testing Borderlands 3 ahead of its launch next March. All right. You get the joke there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. I was checking. Y'all got the joke, right? Okay. Let's move on to a time when the jokes were simpler. We're going to go to the classic game of the week. And every week here on the show, usually when she's here, Dark Sakura will step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this game this week. But Dark Sakura, as we know, is taking a trip down memory lane with the 80s hits from Weird Al Yankovic. It's why she's not here tonight. So in her place tonight, usually I try to tape something in advance with a special guest, but because of all the other stuff I've been doing today, namely a 30-minute immunity challenge, among other things, I didn't get around to doing that segment with somebody else. So it's been a little while since Loki got to pick.
Yes.
So we thought, all right.
And
this,
unfortunately,
it's Loki's turn.
Like, I picked a good one first, and then I thought of all these other ones afterwards. I'm like, oh, man, I should have done those.
I thought you meant the first one that you shot down.
Oh, no.
I shot down his first pick because it's a pick where I said, no, that needs to be the game that's, like, on the last OLR or on some big number OLR game.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, the other weird things I thought of after the fact.
But this is a really good one that you picked. So what is the class? I mean, then when you texted me this, I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
So the game that we picked, I can describe it in one word. Rush. That's right. That's the sound I would hear every time I would go.
Uh-oh. I just want to say, I don't know how that happened. My template is
muted.
Copied over. No. The classic game noise is just very low. It's actually, the long play is by Classic Game Videos, not the name displayed there, but their watermark is on the corner there. Sorry, guys. It's a typo on my end.
Anyways, that's the sound I used to hear every time I'd go play Qzar, because we had a San Francisco Rush Extreme Racing machine, actually two of them, there to play. And so San Francisco Rush Extreme Racing was a game that was put out by Atari Games, published by Midway, back in 1996. It later then came out on consoles, of course, the Nintendo 64 in 97, and finally PlayStation 98. Of course, San Francisco Rush was a very stunt-based racing game set in San Francisco with all sorts of crazy obstacle courses and shortcuts to go through, lots of air and all sorts of fun stuff. And I wasn't very good at it, but it was a lot of fun. The game was... they had several different versions of the game. They kind of all came out around the same time with each other. The one I played the most was actually San Francisco Rush The Rock. So that version featured a set of tracks in Alcatraz, which were pretty fun as well. That was in 97. And then, of course, they also had a version that came out in 98 that I was unaware of called San Francisco Rush The Rock WaveNet, which apparently supported online multiplayer all the way back in 98. That's kind of crazy. So San Francisco Rush was built around the 3DFX Voodoo graphics dual chip.
Voodoo economics.
It was, yeah, it apparently had cars going 150 to 160 miles per hour, and they, of course, created an alternate version of San Francisco for the game. Some really great ports, though. The Nintendo 64 edition, I remember playing that one quite a bit. The PlayStation one as well. They also did it as part of the Midway Treasures Volume 3, I believe, that had all their racing games in there. That came out on GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox at one time. And I think I even have the PC version on that. Of course, this followed up later on. They had a Nintendo 64 sequel, Rush 2 Extreme Racing USA, that was released in 1998. And, of course, the arcade follow-up, San Francisco Rush 2049. And that came out later on in on the Dreamcast and Nintendo 64 as well. And then finally, they had L.A. Rush, which was released in 2005. I never played that one. But yeah, got some decent reviews, and I definitely spent a lot of money on this game and had a lot of fun playing it. But yeah, that's my pick, San Francisco Rush. And we really need like an updated version of this to come out, aside from, you know, 2049. I think they do have actually a newer one now that's one of those, I get that confused with Cruisin' USA or the Cruisin' series, but they need a new one. Besides, Atari's not really making anything decent. Maybe this
Have their own little computer, though.
As I was about to say, maybe this will be something that comes out on their new console. But yeah. So, the classic game of the week, San Francisco Rush, Extreme Racing. Are you done there?
Sorry, I'm sending Jamie a text message real quick while she's at the concert. But there was a very kind gesture in our chat room that I want to make sure she knows about, so I'm trying to text her right now. So, anyway. But yes, you don't have anything else to say about the game?
I don't have anything else to say. I wonder if this is something they should run this for Awesome Games Done Quick. I would love to see like someone actually take all the shortcuts in these.
Did you ever play like the home versions on Nintendo
64? I played the Nintendo 64 one. Yeah, quite a bit, actually. That was because that was actually a really good port of it. And I think that was the Rush to Rock one. I just remember trying to play this. Like, every time I'd go to try to hit that tunnel right there, it always crashed in the roof. It was just... That was one of the things with the driving cabinets that they had in here that, like, it was very hard to steer those cars. I mean, they were just... Yeah, that was me pretty much the entire time. Just crashing into the walls. But yeah, it was a fun game.
You know what game you could have picked for racing? F-Zero. Because I don't think, or F-Zero GX. I don't think it's ever
I'm
been.
I'm pretty sure we picked
have
F-Zero.
We? Oh, maybe. I don't know. All right. Anyway, no, but that's a really good pick. Like, I can't be mad about that for sure. So there it is, your classic game of the week, San Francisco Rush.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got plenty more show to go, plenty more stories to cover, and your calls a little later on our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. That's vognetwork.com/discord. First, some rapid-fire news.
So the first thing we have is they finally put out the final list of the PC Engine TurboGrafx-16 mini games that are going to be coming out. Newly announced games that are going to be coming to those versions as well. So now we have, aside from everything that's been released so far, Dragon Spirit, Galaga 88, the Genji and the Hiiki clans, The Legend of Valkyrie, Sere Senshi Spriggan, and Spriggan Mark II. As well as they're going to be including Splatterhouse as well. And it makes a total of 50 games that are going to be bundled with those now. So that's pretty awesome. And then March, I don't know. I didn't get in on that, but yeah, what are you going to do?
I did, and I'm what hearing this news makes me even happier. Now we get Splatterhouse, too, on top of all that, and there's some other good games in there, too. I'm like, I'm so pumped for this TurboGrafx. I never in my life have I been excited about a TurboGrafx thing, but I am tonight.
So this is pretty exciting. So there is a brand new total conversion mod that's being done for Serious Sam Fusion, mm-hmm. or I should say Serious Sam 3 is part of Serious Sam Fusion, and is a total conversion that puts the game of Duke Nukem 3D in that engine. So it is a remake of Duke Nukem 3D, but here's the best part about it. So not only is it Duke Nukem 3D with better graphics and better gameplay, but they have expanded levels, new weapons, new music made just for the mod, and VR support.
Oh, shit.
And it looks...
VR Duke Nukem? That's
it looks
awesome.
Fucking awesome. And the best part is it's free, so you can actually find it. It's called Serious Duke 3D, so go to the Serious Sam Fusion 2017. They have, the beta version, I think, that you can get. And if you have Serious Sam 3... then you can download this mod for free, and it's linked within their forums that they have in Steam. But I've got to check this out. I think I have all the Serious Sam collection. I don't know if I have Fusion, though, but I'll take a look at that. But it looked really good, so I'm really wanting to check this out. It looks actually, funny enough, better than what Gearbox would have done, with this stuff.
So before I get to my rapid-fire stories, I've been texting Dark Sakura a little bit because of that very kind gesture from She-Hulk in our chat room. Dark Sakura actually texted me this very lovely picture. That's why I stood up for a minute here so I can show it again. Very lovely picture of herself and Dan. There you go. They're at the Weird Al concert. You can see the empty seats behind them. So I don't think it started just yet. It probably starts at about 8 o'clock. So very lovely. What a handsome couple there. They look great.
Yes.
So... good photo. Thank you, She-Hulk, because I probably would not have texted her if you hadn't provoked me to with that lovely gesture in our chat room. So there you go. Anyway, I'm sure they'll be having fun at the concert. Rum Jump Stomp in chat says, when I saw Weird Al, he stayed after and met every single fan that wanted to. That sounds like such
That's
a weird
awesome.
Al. That sounds like a Weird Al thing to do. It really does. So I remember when Dark Soccer and I went to see Greg Proops. And he didn't have, the hugest turnout here in SAC because his podcast was still new. And it was, right around, New Year's. So, I think it was, the Saturday between Christmas and New Year's and he was here. So, he didn't, have the hugest crowd. And it was, on a Thursday night. But Dark Soccer and I went, and he was really cool. He came around and shook everybody's hand in the audience. It was thank you for being here. I'm Greg. Who are you? So, I always thought that was a very classy move. I think he still does the smartest man in the world thing, right? He's had that podcast for forever. So, yeah, we went and saw that live once. It was a lot of fun. So... Bobby Blackwolf says, Penn and Teller also hang out in the lobby. That's really cool. I love it when, people are, I think that's a very humble thing to do. But I also respect sometimes when, folks are, emotionally spent and they can't do that stuff. I don't think people should ever have an expectation, because I can totally respect when, maybe a performer has put their all into a performance and so they just don't have that emotional, gas tank or whatever you want to call it to go out and see everybody. I totally respect that, but that is amazing. These folks that can do that and do have that energy kind of going that extra mile. That's always really, really cool. Anyway, let's move on. Sorry. That was a random tangent, but it happens here on OLR. Getting into some other gaming news, big tweet from Reggie Fils-Aimé, who, ever since he kind of stepped down as head of Nintendo America, he hasn't he has a Twitter account. He doesn't really tweet every day. He doesn't speak up all the time. I think he's just probably enjoying retirement and time with his kids, and he fucking earned it. So let him. Right.
Yeah.
But he showed up this week. I got something to say, pretty much. And so when Reggie speaks, y'all better fucking listen. And this has to do with a comment on deadly mass shootings and the violence in America, and some of the blame that video games are taking for this. And Reggie Fils-Aimé tweeted and the following, and I quote, When the ill-informed are being critical of the gaming industry and community, this is a very powerful story. He had actually quote-tweeted a Jeff Keighley story about video games and bringing people together and actually helping to get somebody get Canadian citizenship through the power of video games. So this was a quote tweet where Reggie Fils-Aimé, you can like attach somebody else's tweet. Yeah. So this is what that was. So anyway, this is a very powerful story. The facts are that countries with higher per capita gaming revenue have fewer gun shooting deaths, except the U.S., where 4% of the population own 43% of the guns. And, you know, I don't want to step into gun debate tonight, but I think he does make that point, as a lot of people have said this point. Japan has the same video games we do. Most of the countries in Europe have the same video games we do. Australia, save for one or two, like Mortal Kombat and stuff, you know, some of those controversies is the word I was looking for. Australia, for the most part, has the same video games we do, and so on and so on. These countries do not have the level of the problems we have. Yes, we all know there was a horrific incident that happened in New Zealand. It doesn't happen at the frequency that it's happening here. You know what I mean?
Right. And we understand that. But it's pretty transparent why politicians are blaming video games, because they're getting paid by the NRA. They get money from the NRA.
And they don't get money from video games.
They don't get money from video games. And unfortunately, they're beholden to money. And so they just, you know, they blame video games because it's an old way of thinking, blaming other things. There's been so many things to blame violence on, like whether it was comic books or rock and roll music or movies or TV or video games or whatever. I mean, Magic the Gathering. I mean, just all sorts of ridiculous things that people blame violence on. And it's never...
Oh, Bobby in chat says D&D. I remember
D&D,
when my mom was like, you're playing Dungeons and Dragons. You can't... Rob,
don't use your imagination. Rob. It leads to violence.
I know. And now, like, I... But what's interesting to me is because I do think my mom learned a lot in the years that she was alive that I was growing up. I think she learned a lot through me. And I think, like, my mom in her late 70s before she passed, I think if she looked back at some of the things she had said when I was growing up like that, I think she would go, well, what was I thinking? At least he wasn't doing drugs. Like that would have honestly been what she would have fallen on. It's like, so he was playing D&D. At least he wasn't doing drugs, you know?
It's stupid, and it really is. And unfortunately, like, if the government makes decisions about censoring video games, we're not going to see any change in the violence that's out there. And it's not going to make a difference. They just need to get the work that needs to be done. Like, when everybody keeps saying, do something about the gun violence, do something about the guns, they need to do that. But the problem is, the base that supports the people that are in power right now, they love their guns, and they won't have anybody telling them that, you know, guns are bad. So because they use it as a threat. Oh, if these people get elected, they're going to take your guns away. And that's what it comes down to. It's politics.
The cracks in all of that are starting to show. It's taken way too fucking long, but the cracks in that are finally starting to show. You know, when the governor of Ohio tried to give some speech right after all that, there were all of these people out there yelling, do something, do something, do something. Like, they just started screaming during this whole thing, do something. And he pretty much was not able to give his speech. And you know what? The next day, he came out and said, you know, I think maybe it's time to look at doing this type of – and I don't remember the exact thing he proposed, but I don't remember if it was the extended background check or something like that. But it took the people going out and being fucking pissed off to finally make that change.
Well, yeah, and just when
it took way too long.
And then when you had the president mimicking that, well, maybe we'll look at extending the background checks or whatever, then he gets a call from the NRA saying, that's not a good idea, you shouldn't be doing that, and then he walks it back because, you know, hey, if you want our support, you're not going to do that.
Anyway, I think Dark Tetsuya kind of wraps this up. To try to shift away from politics, Dark Tetsuya, I think, kind of wraps this up nicely with his comment in our chat saying, I didn't want to open this can of worms again. I just thought it was really great that Reggie would go to bat for us.
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. You know, it's great that – because Reggie didn't have to say shit. He doesn't work in the video games industry anymore. Reggie can sit there sipping a drink out of a coconut on the Bahamas and the islands and not give a fuck about any of this. And he would be well within his rights to do so. But the fact that he is still, like, he's showing up from all of that to say something about this that's near and dear to his heart, like, as if we didn't love him enough, right?
Yeah.
As if we didn't love Reggie enough. Like, anyway, what a stud. All right, anyway, that's all I can say about Reggie. What a stud. I think even heterosexual men can agree. What a stud. All right, moving on. Going to a completely different comment here on Sega Ages and the Sega Ages collection. Space Harrier and Puyo Puyo are games that will be coming out on August 22nd in the West. So yeah, the Sega Ages lineup, very cool. Kind of adds a little something to these classic games. Obviously, Puyo Puyo was also Kirby's Dream Machine. Or was it Kirby's? I might got that. I think I mixed the titles. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine and Kirby's Dream?
Kirby's Avalanche.
Avalanche. Oh, God, why is that name escaping me? Like, you even say it in the beginning of that game, Kirby's Avalanche. So anyway, sorry. I'm sure ActDeft is like screaming the name in chat right now, but I did figure it out before I read chat. Okay, so anyway, Puyo Puyo is the game all of those are based on, and that will be very cool. I mean, I think a lot of people saw the Puyo Puyo Cross Tetris was out recently on Switch too, and PS4. So Puyo Puyo is making its way to Sega Ages, and of course Space Harrier, which, you know, Darkstalkers, one of her favorite quotes, the "Welcome to the Fantasy Zone, get ready," that all comes from Space Harrier. So it's a bummer she's not here tonight to read this story herself, but I'm sure she will have her hands all over this come August 22nd. So that's going to be very cool. They will be out on the Nintendo Switch coming August 22nd. I think I'll have to pick that up. Space Harrier really reminds me of a game called 3D World Runner, which I'm sure was like inspired by, you know, I'm sure there's a lot, but I happen to play the other one first, so but like Space Harrier is very cool, so I kind of want to check that out. That might be a game I can stream. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about what is in stores this week. Let's travel around the world and check out video games coming to a store near you.
Well, we've got Friday the 13th, the game coming out on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah. Finally, I'm making its way to the Switch, yeah.
Because the 13th falls on this week. That's why they're releasing it. We have the Bard's Tale Trilogy on Xbox One, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw on PC, Ion Fury on PC, Mac, and Linux. We've got Vassara Collection on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And finally, the Grandia HD Collection on Nintendo Switch.
All right. Not sure what's going on in Japan this week, but it seems like it's kind of a slower week. We don't really have a lot of releases on the PlayStation 4. They don't really ramp up until August 22nd, so the PlayStation 4 is pretty quiet in Japan. Taking a peek at the Nintendo Switch, I don't see anything out there either. Like, there's some peripherals and things, but they don't really pick up until this 22nd either. I don't know if there's holidays or what have you going on, but it's just a very slow time of the year, so no Japanese releases outside of, you know, just like minor hardware and things like that to talk about right now. So there you go. Let's move on to the UK, Loki.
All right, not much coming out in the UK either. We've got Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist Link Evolution coming out on Nintendo Switch, and that is it.
All right, must be a slow. But, I mean, August isn't typically a big time. I feel like around Labor Day, sometimes
we're going to ramp up. For September, so
that's true. Once we start to get into September, it's going to really start to ramp up again. So that certainly makes sense. All right, sorry, I misclicked on the little story bar on the right hand side, so we're behind a little bit. So we're going to move on from world release dates and head on into our mailbag. Every week, we invite your emails over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorite emails here on the show. Actually, this week, we really only have one email, so let's get to it over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Robert M., with a follow-up to last week when we were talking about Pokemon Go and some of the new filtering systems in Pokemon Go. Robert M. starts off this week, "Thank you very much for the advice for Pokemon Go. I did find that I have 3 4-star Pokemon, which I marked as favorites." You're going to tell us that and then not tell us what Pokemon they were? I'm so disappointed. All right. Oh, well. I will say I got a second Sentret that's a perfect Sentret this week. So I have 2 perfect Sentrets. I mean, like, of all the freaking Pokemon to have perfects, I get that one. Oh, well. Anyway, Robert M. continues. "As far as other gaming stuffs, I have become pretty hooked on the Switch port of Lethal League Blaze. It's been out since, what, October? On Windows, more recently having a Mac port along with the original. Have any of you checked this one out? Thanks again." And that is from Robert M. "I must admit, I don't know a lot about Lethal League Blaze, so I'm actually trying to pull up a little more information on this right now. It is a projectile fighting game, apparently, that's available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and of course, as was mentioned there, Windows and Mac OS. So, Yeah, it looks like it's a high speedball game with different characters. And, yeah, interesting. I'm trying to look at the description. I thought I caught something on Google caught my eye here when I Googled this game. I have to see if it really says this. Hold on here. Because when I Google, okay, when I Google it, the little preview on Nintendo's site, hold on, I got to go back to this because this is really interesting. So I Googled the name of the game. Yeah, okay. So look, this little preview here of Nintendo's site, it says, Lethal League Blaze is an intense high-speed ball game with unique characters, out-of-sight sounds, and none of that weak shit.
Yeah, it's actually Lethal League is pretty awesome. So
Hold on. Who got the word shit on a Nintendo website? That's what I want to know. Where did that shit come from? Literally, where did that shit come from? I don't know. And now I'm looking at the site itself, and it's telling me that my computer is not running a good enough browser, and I need to upgrade and so forth. But that is so funny. That actually, so, is that like a user comment or something?
What I like about Lethal League Blaze, and one of the things actually, I have one of the tracks on my rotation that I listen to. So Hideki Naganuma does music on there, and you may remember him from now I can't remember the damn god, the roller skating.
Jet Set.
Jet Set Radio. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So you may remember him from Jet Set Radio or from 2DX. He also did songs in 2DX as well. But he has a song in there called Ain't Nothing Like, what was it? Was it Ain't Nothing Like,
well, you can tell that's going to be the tone, though. Like, it's just, that's a game. Oh, my God. Sega's AAA announcement. Oh, my God. Loki. Sega's AAA announcement. What if?
That'd be cool.
A new Jet Set game. And it's AAA because the music is going to be, like, off the charts. Oh, now, look, I'm getting my hopes up. This is me getting my hopes up live. Now I want Sega to announce a new Jet Set game. That would be, oh, my God, that would be so amazing.
It's probably going
to
be, like,
excited.
A new Dead or Alive.
Yeah. SSJ100 Matt in chat said the exact same thing at the same time. What if that AAA game is Jet Set in that series? Hey, you know what they say, SJ100 Matt. Great minds think like me.
Tecmo's Dead or Alive. What's the Sega one? Virtual Fighter? New Virtual Fighter game?
The Sega thing.
Yeah.
You never know. All right. Dark Tetsuya says, well, I think Hideki is composing for Streets of Rage 4. Yeah, I think so too. And Act Deft bringing us down to reality saying, that would be amazing, but I don't think it's happening. Womp womp.
But the game is really weird. So it's a fighting game, but like with a baseball or something like that. So they're actually throwing this ball around as you're fighting. It's really weird, but it looks pretty cool.
Speaking of Sega letting us down, you remember that ActRaiser clone they were doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing this.
I'm
hearing this ain't it.
Garbage.
This ain't it.
Spiritual
this
six.
Ain't it. That's a bummer. I still kind of want to try it and see for myself. Because, you know, I don't remember ActRaiser being on people's top 10 list back in the day. Like, that was kind of one of those, like, underground sort of, like, titles. But a lot of stuff I'm reading about the Sega thing, yeah, it didn't.
It's a new Altered Beast. That's what the...
Yike. All right. Moving on. Let's get to some more news, Loki.
All right. So, because as we were just talking about the whole gun debate and everything, and with everybody blaming video games for the violence, Walmart does the most Walmart thing ever, and they decided that, hey, guess what? We're going to remove all violent video game signage in the store so that we want any signing or display that contains violent images or aggressive behavior needs to come down. So remove, turn off, cancel, anything that has to do with that stuff because of these mass shootings that have been going on. We're still going to sell guns, but remove those video game signs just so, you know, no one gets offended.
I mean, if they don't want to advertise or promote certain games, you know, they are within their rights. I'm disappointed that they have played into this narrative that is false, that certain people are putting out there about video games and the effect that it has on people with no proof to back that up, especially when, again, video games are not something unique to the United States of America. These same video games are in Canada, Australia, Britain, Scotland, Japan. The list goes on and on. You get the point. And they don't have these same problems in these other places, yet we have them here.
Well,
So it's just disappointing that Walmart kind of got on that bandwagon, so to speak.
Well, and on top of that, also there was supposed to be some sort of what was it? I don't know if it was it wasn't Anthem. It was there was supposed to be some other like online competition that was going to be around. I can't remember the name of the game, but anyways, they were like postponing it again because of the mass shootings. And it was funny because like I was watching Jim Sterling talking about, these mass shootings and stuff and how they're postponing this tournament because of that. He's like, so what are they going to do next week when the next mass shooting happens, or the next week when the next mass shooting happens, or the week after that? Are they just going to keep pushing this tournament down the road because of these mass shootings? It's not going to change anything because game violence doesn't have any bearing on this mass shooting stuff.
Now, Dr. Tetsuya in chat says, don't they only sell the clean versions of albums, or am I remembering it wrong?
No, they used
to. That was the thing that they used to do.
I don't think they do that anymore.
Well, I think in general, they got out of the music business. You know,
they still sell music, but it's very little.
Very scaled back. It's not what it used
to be. Even like movies is very, very scaled back.
Because a lot of that went digital. And I'm sure games are going to go that same way, too, as more and more of that goes digital.
Yeah, eventually.
You know what else is kind of weird about this whole story in a very, like, it's a small world kind of way? Like, the guy that broke this on Twitter and had the copy of the Walmart announcement and all that, yeah, longtime Twitter friend of mine. I was, like, the second or third person to like that tweet.
Huh.
Yeah, that's I know, funny. Right? It's a weird, like, small world type of thing. I don't know where he got it. I have a theory, but it's not within my – it's not my business at all to say. I just thought that – I thought that was interesting because I remember seeing that tweet, and I remember – I think I might have even retweeted it because I was, like, very – I was like, God – I was like, geez, Louis. You know, I'm just – I was rolling my eyes again, like, you know, video games getting blamed for things. And then,
what is
like,
this? What year is this?
Suddenly I'm reading a story on NPR, and they, like, linked that same tweet, and I was like, oh – I know. Well, I'm happy for him though, because I think he's trying to like land a journalism. Like he's kind of like trying to find a journalism position and stuff now. So hopefully this will, in a weird way, bring some attention and maybe help him with that. So anyway, it's a weird aside, but you guys have to admit, like, has that ever happened to you? Where like you're on a website and like you see a tweet or you see a thing and you're like, I know that person. Like that's the weird like kind of world we live in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's see. Going to the chat for some of the comments. Bob Coffey says, music got scaled back, but games and PC gaming got scaled up. Interesting. SG100 Matt says, I'm sure they will still green light doing midnight launches of Call of Duty and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, there's a method to the madness. You have crazy people that want to copy the latest news headline, so it's smart to postpone it if you can, just till it's out of the news cycle.
But at the same time, you know, it's... Then maybe, you know, of course, we can't stop selling guns. It's just, we can't do that.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to somewhat lighter fare and talk about, real problems.
Oh.
Like Ninja leaving Twitch.
There's even more to this.
Okay, you get into the second half because I saw some of this in chat and I was like, wait a minute. You get into the second half. I'll tell the first half. Okay, here's the first half. So the first half is that, as you all know, Ninja left Twitch. I mean, here we are 2 weeks later. We're still talking about it. But it's because he went over to Mixer. So he's over there now. I didn't watch the streams before. I haven't watched them since the move. But once in a while, I check out things on Mixer, especially like the official Microsoft stuff. You know, I have a few. I did like two broadcasts on Mixer.
I always see they have a loop that's in GameStop because we go there occasionally. So my son can play the demos for
Mixer.
Microsoft, they have a kiosk for Microsoft. No playable demos there, but we have it's a trailer for Mixer, and they have a trailer for that accessibility controller that they have, which I'm like, that's cool that they have a trailer there for that, but like who's really buying that? No one's buying that here at GameStop right now, but it's cool that they have it. But there's a long trailer for Mixer showing like someone playing Forza Horizon.
Okay. So anyway, Twitch has kind of repurposed his channel a little bit. I mean, Twitch got a lot of clicks. It makes sense, I think, Ninja got Twitch a lot of clicks. It makes sense for Twitch to kind of repurpose his channel a little bit for the people that might end up there or be curious. And so they changed it with a message that says, the ninja you're looking for is in another castle, right? Hold throwback to Mario, right? Check out these other popular live channels. And then, of course, it shows, you know, other people playing Fortnite and so forth. And some of the other big streamers that do Fortnite is out there. So that is what Twitch did. But apparently there's a part two to this, right, Loki?
Yes, the part two is apparently that now on Twitch, it is showing the top Fortnite streamers on his channel instead. And what do you think was the top Fortnite streamer recently? Why, it was people fucking on camera. That's right, people fucking on Twitch, right on camera, for everybody to see. That's the new Fortnite. And guess which video was number one on that channel for Ninja? That's right. It's people fucking the game. And, of course, he was not happy about that. He says, this is disgusted, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, give me a break. That's what he said. Did he put out a comment as to how disgusted he is about this?
Yeah, Ninja did. On his, because it's not his channel anymore.
Okay. Like, look, haha, somebody got porn out on Twitch. I'm sure Twitch shut that down ASAP. But don't fucking feign, like, oh my god, really? In front of my salad? Really? Come on. Somebody gamed the system. I'm sure and it got shut down.
Yeah,
somebody got a screen grab in the 30
channel,
seconds it was up.
His channel now, he says, Twitch has now reverted my channel back to how an offline page should look. Thank you. So they've shut everything down now.
Oh, my God.
But, like, they seriously, it's ridiculous. And I saw a screenshot. And I was like,
Run
really?
Jump Stomp said Twitch left it running for over 2 hours. Was it not, like, on the weekend or something? Or, like, how did it go for so long?
I don't know. But, like, come on, Twitch, dude. Like,
I mean, okay, we all know that the Fortnite top recommended stream thing is probably automated, right? We've already talked about what people read into those thumbnails and so forth. Do you think that these people fucking or whatever, do you think that is the world's first people on Twitch having sex?
No, of course not, because we had Playroom and Playroom.
God damn you, Logan. I was just about to say the fucking Playroom on PlayStation 4. Like, oh my God. Like, if I could go back to a time in gaming history, I would not go back to the NES or the Atari 2600. I would not go back to those days. Because, look, I have a lot of love in my heart for the Commodore 64 and all those days. I love those days. But here's where, you know what I'd go back to? I would go back to when the PlayStation 4 was brand new and people were streaming the most wild shit on the Playroom.
Because
to get on the PlayStation.
Because what is better than having sex on stream? Having sex on stream while augmented reality robots stare at you and go, "What the fuck is going on? Like, what are they doing?" And they start walking on your back and shit.
Kaijudo says, "Nah, before Playroom, we had poker on the PlayStation 2 and iToy TV. I forgot, you know." Well, and people could do that on the Xbox 360 with Uno. I remember that was a thing. I'll show you draw four.
Yes, I remember when we used the iToy for streaming our
that's right. Did we use an iToy camera to broadcast?
We did.
Like the 30-second update clips of...
Yes, we used to do that because... And then we streamed playing that stupid washing windows game that they had on there. Like, remember that?
iToy Play.
Yeah, iToy Play.
That dumb little song, "When I'm washing windows."
Yes, that we used to do that.
Why is it so funny? I don't know.
It was stupid, but...
All right. Anyway.
It worked.
SG100 Matt with a very serious note here, and this isn't funny. We shouldn't laugh at this when it comes to porn, but it's worth talking about. YouTube has a huge problem of people trying to get porn on YouTube Kids. That's gross. Very sick people try to do this. I see this as the same thing. And you know, bringing us back to earth a little bit here. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kids that look for Fortnite type of streams too. So even though we might be having, you know, a laugh at the people doing porn, if kids find it isn't really that funny. Although parents should be watching what their kids are
clicking on. Also
Twitch,
they don't have a Twitch Kids or anything like that. And I would say a lot of streamers out there probably language wise wouldn't necessarily be, you know, friendly for kids. So
fair.
I wouldn't let my kids go on Twitch, probably.
Yeah, like unsupervised for sure.
I mean, the crap that my son watches most of the time, like, I swear to God, it's fucking Roblox, and the guy's like talking about gold diggers all the fucking time, and how like there's like women on there like that are trying to get Robux. I don't know what the fuck these people are talking about, but like, I'm like, why are you talking about gold diggers? You don't fucking know anything about what you're talking about.
Now, Questbuster says that's probably why Ninja was really upset. He knows his audience, and having that on his former channel on Twitch was not a good look.
Right, because a lot of people might not know that he moved to Mixer, and they're like, well, why is Ninja streaming porn on his channel? Like, even though it's not, it's like a recommend feed for somebody else, but like, you know, people don't read into anything.
Why couldn't he just be a little more shady about it? Like, why couldn't he just be like, well, now you know why I left Twitch. Like, what? why couldn't he just be shady?
You know, seriously, though, like, that is a conversation that a lot of people are having right now about, like, the unfair treatment between, like some people on the platform are getting better treatment than other people on the platform. And for some reason, recently, like, people just abusing their pets. I don't know why this is a trend.
Oh, can we not? Because, like, oh my god, like, I get more upset about, like, the girl that threw the cat on the floor and no, all this. I get more upset about that than, like, people.
Oh no, it's not even that. But, like, there was another one. It was they put their dog in a dryer and turned it on.
No, I don't want to hear it. Yeah. This is gross. Disgusting.
But yeah,
disgusting.
I don't know what's wrong with people. People are fucked up, and they shouldn't be streaming that shit.
No, absolutely not. Gross. Oh my god, like, there's a special place for you in hell when that all, oh, I'm just disgusted. Why would people, can we move on, please?
Yes, move on.
Yes, please. And honestly, sadly, this is not a great story to move on to, but it's just the way the story's landed this week. So
yes, it is.
Let's get more upset.
So let's talk about how people are being big man babies again. So, you know, apparently Twitch employees are getting threats, and now the police are involved, so apparently, they've been having there's been a serious threat made against our San Francisco HQ on Tuesday and have been working directly with law enforcement as they investigate. The safety and security of our employees is top priority, and we are focused on ensuring this is resolved quickly and safely. And to help with that, they're having employees actually work from home. They didn't say exactly what the threat was, which is probably fine because they don't want copycats, but that, you know, the fact that there's an active threat against a platform or a company, and, like, you know, I'm assuming to the serious threat, like, we're going to come in and shoot up your building or something like that. You got to take that stuff seriously. I mean, like, not even a few months ago,
well,
this happened
at
YouTube.
We live in, yeah, of course. You don't say, like, what is the number one thing that, like, in the biggest font when you're going through the TSA at the airport? Don't even joke, right? Like, that's like don't even joke because it ain't funny. You know, and it's the same thing with these threats people are calling into Twitch and all this stuff. You know, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's very serious, in this, especially in this world that we live in. It's gross. This is why we need to bring back spanking. They need to find this person, and they need to spank them. Like, it's just – it's like the little child that they are with this little – it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
I get so gross. All right. Anyhow, I hope they find the person, and my hearts go out to the Twitch people that were probably, honestly, with everything else going on in the world, were probably shook by this, you know? Like, I got nothing else to say. Let's move on. Can we do something lighthearted, please? How about a rumor? How about a good old gaming rumor?
All right.
Good. When we need to lighten the tone a little bit, let's do it. Either we get Mr. Smush on camera, but that's his choice, or we talk about gaming rumors. So let's talk about a patent that was filed by Microsoft recently to turn your smartphone into a gaming device. Huh. That's kind of interesting. So there was a patent that was put in last month, and it's actually detailing a charging device for removable input modules. So the patent isn't for this controller, but you can kind of see this controller in the mockups. So basically, imagine I were to take my cell phone, okay, and I would actually plug in, think like Switch-style Joy-Cons on the left side and the right side, but something that a little bit more resembled a Xbox One gamepad.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like for those of you that haven't seen the visuals yet. And there would be, of course, a number of color options in this patent, two halves of a controller, it clips around your smartphone. So, you know, and again, companies file patents all the time that they don't even use, so it may mean nothing. But what do we know? Microsoft's going to be making a big push into cloud streaming and all that stuff, right? Microsoft doesn't exactly have the Windows Phone stuff, really, like they used to have. So it makes sense for them to partner up with Android and iOS, which Apple has, you know, really been, and Google to some extent too, has really been lacking some type of like official gaming controller that could really make, you know, things more playable on those screens, right? Because yeah. everything on those systems is touch, which is fine when the games are designed for touch, but like Pokemon Go or something. But Xbox 360 and Xbox One games are not designed for touch. So it makes sense that you would have like this little controller or whatever. But I gotta say, if this ends up being true, what a clever little idea on Microsoft's part to basically, because it's going to be a lot cheaper than selling you something like a PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
This is not a PlayStation Vita. This is almost certainly something that's going to tie into xCloud and Microsoft's streaming services to allow you to play Xbox One games and others like
not
that.
Not even
on
that,
the go.
Like just yeah, streaming from your I don't remember that xCloud was also the streaming from console, kind of like how they did with the remote play stuff. But yeah, something similar sounds like.
Yeah. So anyway, and it should be noted that some of the designs we're seeing out there are mock-ups and so forth. They're based on the patents, but they're not necessarily from the patents. So please be careful with what you see out there. however, it is very sorry, I have coughs. It is very interesting that Microsoft is looking at doing this. It makes a lot of sense for what could their direction be when it comes to the cloud and all this, you know, and how they're going to, you know, solve the issue of gaming on the go, but not necessarily like, you know, on your phone. But
yeah,
like
it's not like a dedicated device. It's yeah. just, you know, its own thing that can attach to tablets.
So SG100 Matt points out that Asus has a phone that's almost like this. It's a gaming cell phone. It's called the Asus ROG. You know, but he says it's pretty amazing, and I bet it is pretty amazing, but still also interesting in a way, I think, that, you know, if you get Microsoft and something of that caliber behind this, and Microsoft says this is the solution we are endorsing, so you can play Halo, you can play Sea of Thieves, you can play whatever on Project Scorpio and all this stuff, you know, if they like roll this out at the same time, this could be very, very big. And it's an interesting way to kind of address the Switch thing, like playing it on your,
yeah.
but without necessarily putting out a clone of the Switch.
Well, then eventually when we get 5G rolled out everywhere and then you have, you know, unlimited plans and stuff like that, then it makes
sure.
this type of gaming feasible on the go.
Now, Dr. Tsuya said earlier in our chat saying, I have to wonder if Tommy Tallarico has heard about this. It sort of sounds up the alley from what he was looking into for extra Amico controllers. That comment from our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork as we tape live here on Sunday night. But yeah.
Aren't we getting something Amico related from Gamescom as well?
Well, we know they were kind of at E3, but we didn't get a lot out of that besides some of the console designs, which looked pretty hot. But I don't know if we know much about the games yet. Maybe we'll get some of that out of Gamescom. But I still feel like Intellivision's a big question mark on a lot of things. But they're not out until, what was their day? 10-10, 2020 or something like that was their big day? So they still got over a year to go. So I imagine we're not going to start seeing all the games just yet. So, oh, okay. Bobby's there to correct me, as usual, saying, yes, the new trailer comes out at Gamescom with 14 games and the hardware. So apparently, I guess there was an announcement. I didn't see it. So... pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So maybe that's something that'll show up. Well, I didn't see Intellivision on the list of who was showing up to Jeff Keighley's thing, but I guess they probably want to do their own thing if mm-hmm. this is like the big reveal of the games. I'm so curious what kind of games they got. So curious. I want to know if YYR got in or not, because you know if he did, he's not going to be able to talk about it even on this show. So I'm just crossing my fingers and my toes for him. So, all right. Bobby says it was supposed to be August 1st, but they delayed it to Gamescom. Well, that makes sense. You know, why not? Why not kick it off with a big gaming show and show all of that? All right. We are almost to your calls. If anybody wants to call in tonight at our Discord server, vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com/Discord. But we have a couple more stories for you guys first. And Loki's about to make me very upset.
Yes. Isn't it so lovely how we talked last week about how the 2019 E3 attendees, you know, they went there and had all their information leaked and were like, see, this is why we don't go to E3. This doesn't affect us at all. And then they sent us a fucking email saying, hey, guess what? Hey, you went to E3 in 2006 or 2004. We leaked your shit, too. And
what wasn't I like sitting here going, thank God we haven't been in years and our stuff probably. And God damn it. Although I certainly wasn't media in 2004. I was we all went as guests of a major gaming company, which if you think back to what this show used to talk about that many years ago, almost exclusively, you can probably put two and two together and figure out what gaming company invited us, but that's neither here nor there.
But 2006.
But 2006, I don't think we met Winnis Media, or did you get an email? Because
I got an email.
Oh, no. I didn't get an email about that. Oh, my God. I'm so mad. I don't remember. I thought we went as just general attendees and registered with the general public.
No.
That must have been 2005.
No, we went as media. I mean, I have to check. I've got my badges in the garage, but...
Yeah. No, I'm just... Now I'm finding this out for the first time. I thought we went as general. I didn't think we went as media until the All Games years.
Well, that was 2006.
After... No, we weren't with All Games in 2006.
Uh-huh.
Were we?
That was the 2006 one, because that's... That was Ridge Racer year. It's 2006.
I thought that came way later.
No, that was the year that they did the PS3 announcement.
Oh, crap.
Because...
Oh, that's right. Bobby says 2006 was the Arena Interactive Lounge year. Fuck, that's right. We were media that year.
Oh, no.
I'm mad. No, I'm fucking mad now.
Yeah.
I'm...
Well, my mailing address is my old company that's closed
down.
Well,
yeah, like, you know, all my yeah, all my information is, like, dirt old. Like, 2006, was I living with you in 2006?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, all that information is, like, dirt old by now. It's not like it's my current address or anything, but it's still. And I haven't gotten any, like, creepy. I think my phone number might have been different, too. Oh, yeah, because I probably registered with a home number, which I don't even have anymore. Because we had a home phone at that time. So, yeah, that was probably our business phone. I want to say one year we, like, changed the message to say something like, you're calling OLR. I feel like that was the year we did all that. So, yeah, the good news is that all the information is going to be shit anyway. But it's still – it's infuriating.
So here's how it actually leaked out. So it wasn't like someone hacked the site and found anything. It was actually archived by the Internet Archive. And it was just floating around out there for someone to access. If they access the archive page, they can get the full list of attendees from 2004 and 2006. How nice.
Jason in chat says, old information is still relevant for credit reports and identity verification. So, and says, sorry. No, I mean, you're just being a realist.
But that's like 4 or 5 addresses ago.
You know,
so
it was a long time ago. But I mean, I'm not saying, oh, it's okay, I don't care, because information's so old. No, I'm fucking pissed off about it, and the ESA fucking sucks for what they did. And, you know, fucking, I hope there's a class action lawsuit and shit, because this is inexcusable what they did. Like, please understand me very fucking explicitly on this. I'm not happy that this happened.
So,
I'm really not happy.
So here's the statement that they put out in email. So it says,
I kind of don't give a fuck. Like what they had to say, because it's all it is going to be talk. Less talk, more action.
Yeah, they're just blaming. They're all, well, the files weren't hosted on ESA servers or on the current website. We took immediate action to remove those files. They were cached on a third-party Internet Archive site. We're working with our partners and outside counsel and independent experts to investigate what led to this situation and to enhance our security efforts. So, you know. What can they do? I don't know. Put any security on there, because there was literally none. So that's a start. But yeah. So that was it. Because I saw that in my email. I'm like, why am I getting this?
So fucking mad. Pixel Pacas in chat says, ESA statements on this are so eye-rolling. They are at fault. If the files were archived, they were up on the site at some point because they put them there. And Bob Coffey says, sounds like PR bullshit.
It is.
Nifty 805 says Rob is ready to outrant Loki tonight. I'm pissed about this. This is way more serious than like Nintendo not getting online or whatever shit Loki rants about in a week. Sorry, Loki, but this is far more important than any of that. And it's so infuriating because again, the ESA is not really talking action. They're just talking about like it's not our fault. Like it was, and it's just like fucking accountability, bitch. Like. I'm so mad. But what can you do? What can you do? Like, you feel helpless about the whole thing.
It's like if this is the company's not leaking your information, it's somebody else leaking your credit information or whatever. It's like...
Why do we have credit information anymore? Because it's just, it's all public anyway, apparently.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Questbuster in chat. ESA. So, we need to spend money to secure this stuff? Just hide it in a folder or something. Barf. But I get it. It's negligence. Absolutely, S. Joe and Hermat. It's negligence. You're a fucking tech company. You represent the tech industry. Not a good look when you're supposed to be representing the tech industry. Anyway, let's move on to something a little more. Let me find my happy place by listening to some music. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Mana series and the Mana soundtracks, meaning like Secret of Mana or Trials of Mana as it is now. Square Enix has just put 13 soundtracks for the Seiken Densetsu or Mana series on several different platforms, including Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more. Some of the soundtracks that are out now, Seiken Densetsu 2, meaning Secret of Mana, the original soundtrack, Seiken Densetsu 3 original soundtrack, Legend of Mana original soundtrack, Heroes of Mana, Rise of Mana, DS Children's of Mana. I mean, just pretty much all the Seiken Densetsu and related Mana games you can think of. All of those soundtracks going up on Spotify, and some great music, some great tunes. Mm-hmm. So a lot happier of a note to end on tonight.
Well, I've got even better note to end on tonight.
Oh, you got some last-minute news, do you?
Yes.
Well, good. I'll start bringing up Discord to see if anybody wants to call in tonight while you get into that.
So guess what game is getting a reboot?
A reboot.
A reboot.
Okay, what?
Cooking Mama.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
So Cooking Mama is going to be coming back to the Nintendo Switch.
That's what I can tell the ESA. Don't worry, Mama will fix it.
Thanks to Planet Digital Partners. As part of this, they're going to have a brand new mode to go along with the regular recipes. It's basically a vegetarian mode. So for people that don't want to cook anything that has meat ingredients, you won't have to. You can just switch it to vegetarian mode and cook all the vegetarian recipes.
That's cute.
Yeah.
For those that's important to them, that's cute. It's an easy change to make, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's it. No word on when it's coming out yet, but pretty cool.
I hope I say this name right. I'm sorry if I mispronounce it, but
In the fall.
Oh, that's really soon.
Yeah.
Sorry if I mispronounced this name. Thor66. I'm sorry if I – or maybe it's just Thor. But spelled differently. I'm going to say Thor. Thor66 in chat says, Darksakura should be happy. I agreed. I'll have to let her know about it. And by the way, I believe Thor66 in chat mentioned that they've been listening since the All Games days and even before that on Live365, and I guess just rediscovered us here on Twitch.
Yep, so, we're still here.
We're still here. We're a little older. I got more gray, but we're here and doing this video thing now that we've been doing since December. So, it's a whole new world out there with video, but 17 years, if you can believe it. It's a long time. Yeah, almost as old as that ESA information that's leaked out.
Almost.
This past week. Jesus Christ. All right. Pixel Paca says, what about Vegan Mama? Baby steps. Baby steps.
They're going to have Beyond Meat in there.
Oh, that's the hot new thing. I haven't tried that yet, the Beyond Meat.
Yeah, that's beyond what I'm going to try.
I hear it's pretty good.
No.
Like, I'll try it. What? It's if it tastes like meat.
No.
I'm curious. But I heard, like, they're getting some crap.
It's a slippery slope.
Like, Burger King is kind of getting crap because they cook it on the same grill that they cook the meat on. So it's kind of – it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes. That I get. That I thought – I was like, what? Is it going to make the burgers taste bad or something? Like, I don't understand what the point is. They're like, yeah.
If you're vegetarian for, like, health reasons, was it that might like, not bother
was,
you. But...
That was like when McDonald's used to, like, fry their stuff in, like, beef fat or something like that. They used to have like some sort of like meat fat in there as well.
Yeah.
Lard or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But their fries taste better then. I don't.
Jason in our chat says it doesn't taste like meat. It bleeds like meat. Yeah. I heard that was a thing too, that it like actually will like bleed. I guess I don't know what, if it's beets or something that's using to make it look like it's bleeding.
Yeah.
Gross, right? But that's, yeah. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Let's take some calls. We actually have somebody in the green room over on our Discord server, so let's get to a call tonight. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hey, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. If you can hear me, we can't hear
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
This is ActDef. For some reason, I couldn't hear you, but okay.
That's okay. We're here now. How you doing, ActDef? What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, there's lots and lots of my mind, especially with what happened last weekend and how it happened, especially. But other than that, you talked about the Walmart story and how they try to pretty much like, don't know if they tried to fix something to try to do something about it, but it was the most stupid way to do it. Like, oh my god, I'm actually like angry about it.
Like I'm irritated that they're buying into this narrative that has no place in the discussion anyway, when there is nothing to prove that any of these, you know, disgusting people that committed these acts, whose names I cannot recall, nor do I wish to recall, that these people were gamers or playing video games or even influenced by games. And even if they did play a video game here and there, who doesn't play video games here and there
these days?
It's a scapegoat. Like, it's distracting from the real issue.
You could say the same thing about, like, well, this person eats pizza, or the killer ate pizza, therefore pizza has caused him to kill.
Exactly. It's just trying to find, or they ate Beyond Burgers, and, you know, it's just...
You hear that? That's a cost I'm willing to give.
It is gross, and it makes me angry. Like, as a gamer and somebody who's tried so hard over the years to promote maybe like a more positive gamer culture and like positivity in gaming, like it's really irritating to get this kind of garbage. And I'm not going to say the gaming scene's always been perfect, but like, this is garbage stuff that we don't deserve to be associated with, you know?
And especially because I could probably talk about most worrying thing about that, how it happened, because it was a racial thing. It was I really don't want to talk about it
I get it. It's fucking infuriating, and we get it. Like, we totally I'm disgusted as you're disgusted. We're all disgusted.
But yeah, like always, video games are the problem, or this is the problem. And they're not, nobody is doing, like, at least in the people who have the power, who have the means and all that to do something, aren't doing anything.
Yeah,
which is the most baffling. It's
very simple. Video games do not teach racism. That comes from somewhere else. And that El Paso attack was racism, right?
Definitely.
They didn't learn that in a video game.
I don't know. I did learn that Skyrim is only for the Nords.
Not even the time to joke. Not even the time. Like, it's like let's call it what it is. It was a racially motivated attack that no video game fucking taught him.
No, and so many, and that's a cool thing about the video game community, because all that happened the same time Evo was happening, and so many people there were having such a great time. We even see like the competition level, that many people can get salty and probably get mad at the other that they won, they lost. But even then, we have like people like Sonic Fox and Goichi. If anyone like you or in chat saw the Dragon Ball FighterZ finals, they were like really good pals from for many years, and they have probably met like in the past 2 years, and they were having a great time. So many people there that were for the games and not because I'm better than you and other stupid stuff that can probably trigger something like that. But no, like, really, people have to see the bigger picture, like, at all, because, again, this is really frustrating because it's coming from, like, a sort of personal thing, but, again, it's, like, people, and you have to do something. Call your representatives, like, call for something to be done, because Walmart pulling like stupid, like, and again, it's just stupid stuff. It's again frustrating that they did that because, oh my god, it happened because of this, and maybe because of this, not necessarily because of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate that I live in a state where we're represented by people in Congress that are very much like trying to fight this and make something happen. For example, one of our senators here from California, you may have heard of before, her name's Kamala Harris, and she has a lot to say about these different issues. And again, I'm not going to wade into politics because I understand, but the reality is, like, you know, I do feel like, at least, you know, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't call him and at least kind of support in the direction that they're going. But, you know, it's like we told the story about the governor that got drowned out when he was trying to give the speech to do something. And then finally, how about that? It made it and made an attempt. There was an attempt to do something finally. So, you know, it's that it's really pissed off people that are going to make the difference. And, you know, as a gamer, I'm sitting here and I think a lot of us have to sit here going, hell no, you're not pinning this on us. This is not our fault. Period.
And yeah, as us people, even like me living in Mexico, I feel like the obligation to do like something, at least spread the word. But yeah, hopefully things will get better. Hopefully, I want to be like really positive about it. But like, again, this time was like, wow, I cannot even fathom. I cannot imagine like the horror that people that are like me lived through that. Like, oh my God.
At some point, for what little relief it is, and I mean little relief, at some point, this generation that has had to grow up with metal detectors in schools, bulletproof backpacks, drills on what to do with an active shooter, and things that I can't even imagine going through. Like, I remember the earthquake drill was the scariest thing I went through when I was 7 years old. Think about the bullshit kids today have to deal with. What little solace there is that someday that generation that had to grow up with all that bullshit is going to be the one that is holding office and making decisions. And do you think that folks that are that young, in fact, in general, folks under 30, and I'm very much generalizing because there's folks older than that, like myself, that definitely agree that something needs to be done. But the reality is, as these younger folks that have had to grow up in this culture and all this bullshit around them is going to someday be the ones in charge, things will change. It's just not changing fast enough, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we just have to wait, be patient, and hope for the best. That's the thing we can probably do right now. But yeah, we need to speak up, like not as gamers, not as hobbyists, but as people.
Absolutely, I'm with you 100% on that, ACT-EFT. I'm glad it's something that, you know, despite the fact that we are from two different countries, it's something that kind of we can come together and agree on. So I appreciate your call very much, my friend. So take care. Hey, I heard your podcast kind of made a move this week.
Yeah, GFMcast, we're still transmitting on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But since Google Hangouts is just pretty much dead.
Right.
For the most part. We're doing some changes, and maybe in the future we'll move to Twitch too. It depends on how YouTube acts in the following months, but for now we're sticking to YouTube. You can check us out if you like or you speak Spanish. GFMcast or GFMcast in YouTube. We also have GFMcast.com, so you can check out all our episodes.
All right. Wonderful. For our Spanish-speaking audience, I would highly recommend it simply because I don't know anybody else that does a Spanish-speaking podcast that listens to this show. And I really wish I could listen and, you know, be able to participate. But all I can do is support you from a distance, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah. Anytime. Take care, buddy.
You too.
All right. Well, that's the only call that was waiting in the green room for us tonight, so we're going to go ahead and probably close down Discord at this point, but thank you to ACT-EFT. If somebody else decided they wanted to get in and got a little shy or whatever and didn't end up calling in, you can always send us an email, of course, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or you can send us a tweet, twitter.com/OLR. Those are all great ways to contact the show as well. Do we have any last minute stories as we start to wrap up tonight?
No, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was the big one. That's a good Cookie Mama's Return. That's a pretty big one.
Later this fall, so we'll have to see.
All right, then I guess we will start to wrap up a little bit here. So thank you, as always, for joining us. Whether you are here live on Twitch or listening on our podcast feed or finding episodes over at vognetwork.com, that's vognetwork.com, really appreciate all the different ways to that you guys participate with our show and listen to us and support us. All we say is, you know, although we really appreciate the subs here at VOG Network and the bitty donations, the bits and all that, we super appreciate all that. You know what? All you really have to do, all we ask, we don't need money, but if you tell a friend or two about the show, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But, you know, if the voices aren't here, if they're not in our Discord lobby waiting to call in or in our chat room giving us feedback. We can't put them out on the air. We can't have that dialogue. So please help us spread the word. Word of mouth is so, so powerful. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever you found this podcast, that stuff goes a very long way. Yes, I know we need to get on Spotify. We'll work on that in the very near future. In the meantime, though, it's about time to wrap up. So I guess we'll go around and get everybody's final thoughts. I'll start tonight. So my final thought is that final tribal councils tomorrow night of this 51-day game I've been playing, and I'm just cross your fingers. Like I would really be honored to be the winner, but if I'm not, then it wasn't in the cards for that to happen. And
are they supposed to have like this live stream or something like that? Or?
It's all going to be on YouTube, so I'll post the link to Twitter if you guys want to see it and watch me get eaten alive by the jury and all that. Although, like, I'm trying to think back. At least like five of them, I think. Wait, I'm thinking back in my mind. I think like five of them wrote my name down at some point, so they can't be too upset. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So we'll see how the final tribal goes tomorrow. But wish me luck. Cross your fingers. If I win, I told you the prize I get if I win, right?
No.
Oh. If I win, you get a blanket. And the blanket can have one of two things on it. You can have either the logo for the season. So I would get the power, because that's the name of the game, is Power Org. So I would get the Power Org logo on it. Or the other option is to get your face on it. Now, Loki, you've known me a very long time. Which of those two am I going to be getting if I win the
game? Oh, you're getting your face on
it. I am absolutely getting the one with my face on it. So you will hopefully see that hanging here if I am successful tomorrow night. Otherwise, Felix out in Montreal, who is the other finalist, will get, I guess, I don't know if he's getting his face or what, but one of us is going to get that blanket. So we'll see what happens. So, all right. That's my final thought. Your final thought, Loki.
My final thought is I'm still working on trying to come up with a game design for whatever I'm supposed to be teaching kids about and stuff. I actually had some pretty decent efforts on that, so we may see something on there. I did work on my game a little bit this week. Didn't get anywhere on that because I'm still trying to get... I don't know. I had done this before in like a previous game I made where I was like trying to lock the player to the screen, but now... It's locking to the camera view and it's not right. So I had to fix something in my code because I can scroll out of the screen if I drag along the bottom, and it's not supposed to be doing that. That would be a glitch. So still working on that.
Thank you for all the love in chat, everybody. I'm feeling the love. So, all right, that's it. We're wrapped up for tonight. We'll be back next week for our last live show of August, believe it or not, with Dark Soccer here in studios. And then we're going to be on a quick little – we'll have a pre-tape show again in 2 weeks on August the 25th because, again, I'm flying out back east on the 24th. And then Labor Day weekend, Dragon Con will be going on, and we'll be hosting their panels. I don't think we have anything on Sunday night. Maybe I think there might have been a Sunday 5:30 thing. I don't know. I don't think we have anything, but I don't remember Bobby's schedule off the top of my head. But there will be some awesome panel that we'll be hosting that you can see instead next week live on Twitch. And for you podcast folk, we'll be back live after that, second weekend of September, I guess, at that point. So, but we will be here next week. So don't make new plans yet. We'll see you in 7 days here on Twitch. And you guys get to find out if I won or not on that game. I'll actually get to play some more video games this week. Maybe Loki will make progress on his game.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So there you go. Bobby reminding me that we watched The Masquerade in the Vogue Suite on Sunday night at the normal time. That's technically our suite party. You're right. That usually is kind of what's going on at that time. But there'll still be panels. Like podcasting, or excuse me, Digital Media Track still has panels that time, right? They might just do – that might be some of their big ballroom panels, like the Four Truths and a Lie. I'm screwing up these names of the shows. I'm sorry. There's that one Truths and a Lie panel. Night Attack is almost always there. They do something. And so they'll probably be a big ballroom thing, but who knows? Anyway, yeah, Bobby says they'll have panels. We just won't be on them. Got it. All right. That's it. I guess we're done. Roll credits, right? We'll see you guys in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.